Blog Talk Radio.
Hey Ed, you were ragging on Meltzer a second ago. Don't you like Meltzer?
Dave kissed my ass.
Dave, can kiss your ass?
I carry that show. Fuck Dave Meltzer, that motherfucker. He living in my coattail.
What do you think about Anchor?
Anchor that motherfucking pussy by fucking peeing on that motherfucker. Fuck Anchor. Fucking Anchor's ass. Fuck Anchor, that son of a bitch.
Welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio. And as you can tell by the two previous clips, this is the 2014 F4W/Wrestling Observer Vegas Convention show. And those clips are what kind of started the whole thing and got this baby in rolling. And now we are stronger than ever because I think we had maybe 70, 80 people in Vegas this past weekend, and we had a great time. And my usual two co-hosts are on vacation this week because they did not go to Vegas. So I have someone on the line who did go to Vegas, and that is our special co-host for tonight. And you've heard her a couple times on the show before, giving an awesome WrestleMania review, and that is one Cherry Brown. Cherry, how are you doing today?
Hello, I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Trying to get rid of these nerves so I can relax and ease into the show a little better. But I'm sure that'll happen in a few minutes here. But Cherry,
you should just have the drunk ramblings all the time. You should just ramble drunkenly, constantly. Should just get you drunk before every show.
Well, we did that for a few weeks to start when we first started the show, and it didn't work out. So we became a wrestling show. But this was your first time in Vegas to see this convention, and you're very new to the whole thing, not being like a long-time member of the website or anything. This is just you've only discovered this community since WrestleMania, and this is your first trip. And what did you think?
I loved it. It was absolutely fabulous. I am new to the website and to everything. I had no clue the community like this existed. And now that I see it, I'm like, oh, why not? But I didn't realize that you guys were all freaks like me and awesome. And Vegas was amazing. It was amazing to see everyone and get to talk with all these new people that have, found each other and connection through, Vegas and through the site and through wrestling and UFC and just being fans or everything. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. It was a dream. It was definitely a dream come true. And I will be back next year for sure.
Oh, that's good to hear, because I was thinking after this trip, she's like, man, I'm never going near those weirdos again. But
I never want to see those people again. No, I really do. I want to see those people again, and I want to plan more time with the girls, all of the wonderful women that were there. You kept me alive. Thank you.
Speaking of women, I'm sure like a lot of people assume this is an all guys trip, but it seems like every year we get more and more women. And even if they were just there for one event or for this or that, I mean, there were actually quite a bunch of women that were hanging out with the Empire on this trip. It was amazing.
There were. It was wonderful. It made me so happy. I mean, like I'm not going to get, don't get me wrong, I love hanging out with you guys and just being one of the guys, but, like, of course I love hanging out with the girls. And so it was really nice to be able to see. And even when we were at the matches, I was pretty shocked at the amount of women I saw in the arena, like watching the UFC matches. Like it was pretty amazing. It made me happy.
Yeah, I would say that there's more women that go to the UFC shows than the WWE shows.
I would have to agree. When especially for WrestleMania, I don't know a general of regular, like Raw or SmackDown or regular shows, but I mean, for WrestleMania here in New Orleans, there were definitely a lot more men than there were women. But I'd have to say for the UFC, I saw probably an even amount, honestly, of men and women, you know. And I actually heard a lot more women screaming and yelling than I did men, which was great.
Yeah. And I don't know if you will agree with me, but the women that go to UFC shows sure dress a lot better than they do when they go to the WWE shows.
They did, actually. I mean, like, not, I don't say dress better, because, I mean, I wore, you know, pants and combat boots and a tank top to WrestleMania, you know. But, I mean, it's one of those things that, like, I saw a lot of women in dresses. But I'm guessing since it was, you know, an evening show, I'm guessing they probably went to dinner either beforehand or after. And it seems like in Vegas, you dress up everywhere. You know, I mean, to go to the casinos and the hotels and everything. So I think everyone's in a permanent state of dress-up when you're in Vegas.
Yeah, you make a good point. And I'm actually surprised. We did see one wipeout, but I'm surprised that we didn't see more high-heel wipeouts, because there's a lot of steps and there's a lot of drinking going on. And, you know, it's amazing how some of these women can walk in some of the things they were wearing at the show.
You know, we like to amaze. We train all year for this, in those heels, up and downstairs, constantly.
Okay.
Never
well, it
battle.
Looks like we looks like we do have a caller on the line here. So let me go to this caller here real quick. Caller calling from area code 661.
What's up, Ed? It is actually not 661. It is Double G, and it is Charlie. What's going on?
Not too much. Just starting the show, but that's what my screen is showing, so that's kind of weird. But are you calling from
Ed,
Skype?
Yeah, I'm calling from Skype, so you probably get some funky number.
Okay, I get some weird Skype number. But how are you guys doing tonight?
I'm doing well, and I also want to say hi to Cherry as well. I didn't want to leave you out there.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Glad to be a part of the show.
Awesome.
Charlie, can you hear
us?
I wonder if Charlie is not on here, but I'll try to get him back on. I don't exactly know what happened, but we're trying to three-way call in here, so I'll try to get him back in. But
okay,
otherwise,
cool.
I told Ed that I wanted to be the curtain jerker for this show. So, Pat Tanaka or Brooklyn Brawler or whatever it is. But I wanted to start it off. So I appreciate you guys letting us on.
No problem at all. And have you recovered from your Vegas experience? Even though I know you're only in there for a couple of days, but it seemed like you're having a good time. How are you doing now?
I'm actually doing really well. Like you said, I was only there for 2 days, which is kind of the perfect fit for me when it comes to Vegas. Like I feel like 2 days is the perfect amount of time to get in there and then to kind of get back home to real life. But, I totally dug it. Coming home I think it was the perfect time. I always get sick going home on the airplanes because of leaving Vegas. It's like sort of abrupt. I've always got to sit, you know, home with a little bit of a nauseous feeling. But other than that, it's good. I really enjoyed it. Fully back in home mode and kids mode and work mode and reminiscing about what we did last week.
Cool. So you've been away for a few years and, I guess it's just the weekend was just hard for you. Are you excited about next year, considering it's not even going to be on the 4th of July weekend?
I wouldn't say I'm 100% in, but I'm like, you know, 75, 80% in. I was glad to be back. So I had gone like the first, not the first year that you guys did it, But I think I was there like the second and the third and maybe the fourth year. But, you know, just because of stuff, when we changed the date, it was a lot harder for me to get out there. But, you know, I was so happy just to meet new, you know, the new folks. Missing some of the old folks like, you know, Horseman, Rodney, and those guys. But, you know, glad to meet some of the new guys that you know, that I really hadn't seen on the board because I'm not on the board anymore. But just happy to meet new folks. And it's kind of cool to see this thing grow. And, you know, I know that you absolutely enjoy it when people kiss your ass, so I'm going to do that here. But, you know, I tell Brian all the time, like, it's awesome that he's created this community, but, you know, kudos to you for just taking it to the next level and kind of continuing this little tradition that we have. Because, you know, I think most of the people know, but you do sort of take ownership of organizing it from the day we all sort of get back to Vegas or get back home from Vegas to the following year when we do it. So it's been a good thing, and you know, I think you deserve praise for keeping this thing going.
Well, thank you very much, and yeah, I'm glad this whole thing started. I mean, it's funny because, you know, when I first invited them that very first time, it's like everyone on the board turned on me and hated on me. And then by the end of the trip, from the pictures came out and the audio that I played at the start of the show came out, it was like a whole different story, and it just shifted this emotion. And, you know, we went from six people the very first trip to 16 to 30 to 40 to every time after that, it's been 50-plus. This year, I was shitting bricks because I thought we were going to go back to 30 people. You know, there were so many regulars that weren't able to make it this year. You know, not everyone could go to Vegas every year. Sometimes you got to take a time off. But I was so worried. And then before we knew it, by the end of the trip, before the trip started, we even had three people more for dinner than we did last year, when last year was like 50, which was our highest number. And then, you know, not everyone even made it to dinner. We saw people like yourself who missed the dinner, came in later and just like, or had something else going on. So, yeah, I was very shocked and surprised and very happy with the turnout. I mean, to me, this just tells me that there's no way this will ever end. It just will constantly get better and better.
Well, if you keep bringing females around like Cherry, then, you know, she's kind of a draw now, right?
Yeah,
yes,
I think
I'll
she was one of
the
biggest
time.
Hits of the show. I think she was one of the biggest hits of the trip. I mean, I don't know anyone who did not enjoy meeting Cherry and hanging out with Cherry.
Aw, you guys can continue.
Okay,
no,
so
Cherry, do you have any questions about Vegas you'd like to ask Gigi?
Any questions that I'd like to ask?
Or anything you'd like to bring up regarding the trip? Or...
Nothing specific. I mean, like, it was just wonderful. I mean, Gigi was hilarious. It was great to hang out with you, Gigi. It was wonderful. I highly suggest coming back next year. I will be there. So if that's draw, if that'll help.
Yes, yes. And do you remember, I'm sure you remember, but so just to sort of tell everybody, you know, we were hanging out at Ed's suite after
yeah,
the day
I remember
after that
the
party.
Yeah, that I was the one not drinking.
Yes, yes, yes. And I decided to interview Cherry just to sort of kind of create conversation and get things going. But, yeah, that was pretty fun.
Yeah, that was wonderful. It was like a 30-minute-plus interview of just me, and it was great. It was wonderful. We should have recorded it.
We could have created a podcast in of itself.
I did record you when you were laughing. We couldn't tell if you were laughing or having a seizure, but I did record that.
Yeah, that was intense. I had gotten the hiccups at the same time of laughing, so that was the most horrible. Those were sounds from hell. Exactly what those were.
It was actually very entertaining on our part. But, Gigi, do you need me to give you the number to get to Charlie for him to call separately or something?
Yeah, I was trying to get him to dial. I was trying to dial him in so that we were all sort of on the same line. But I am going to give him the number so he can just call in directly, because he's been posting messages to me in Facebook of a train wreck, a photo of a train wreck. So I'm just gonna get him to call in so that he can add to this nonsense.
Okay. Go ahead.
I was gonna ask you. So obviously you've been to every single one of these things. This one specifically, you mentioned that you were a little worried. You didn't know if we're going to get that many people or who was, you know, was it going to go backwards or whatever. And I'm assuming you were pretty pleasantly surprised that things continued to grow as they have been. Was there anything this year that stood out that, you know, you could compare to other years as like, oh, you know, this is why people need to come out? Like, what was like that moment for you this year?
Really, just in a way, just seeing so many new people. It's like it didn't miss a beat. Like it's like you know, the people could miss this. The people who were new this year could miss next year, but a whole group of new people are going to be there. And I have the confidence that now that it's always going to be like that. Even if it's a whole new group, it's going to be everyone's going to jump in and be like one big happy family for the most part. And we do have another caller here on the line, so. Let me see if this is our knucklehead friend. Caller calling from area code 586. Who is it?
Yeah, it's me. Fuck's sake. It's Charlie. Jesus.
Sorry, I wanted to steal the limelight of the first 7 minutes of this show. You are the show stealer.
Yeah. So what's going on, Charlie? Are you currently on the farm as we speak?
I'm in parts unknown.
That sounds like everyday life for you, parts unknown.
Pretty much.
So how'd you enjoy the trip, Charlie? It's been a couple years since you've been there.
I'd have to say I think it was the best one.
That's cool.
Yeah,
what was your favorite part of the trip? Besides getting drunk every day.
Well, besides that's besides that, I would say the private suite party we had.
I think we should keep a lot of the subjects that we talk about under wraps, so we don't insult anybody.
Exactly.
But yes, I do agree that that was quite an amazing time. It was never laughed so hard in my life before, and yeah, that was a good time.
Yes, that was the private suite party. Was great to hang out with y'all and just laugh. Yeah, my abs hurt after that. It was ridiculous how much we laughed. We were there
your
for abs, hours.
Your abs were hurting, but that didn't involve Damien, did it?
Oh, Jesus. Wait, is he calling in?
I hadn't heard from him, so I'm not too sure. Unless he decides to make a surprise appearance.
So I missed the sweet party. I was kind of frustrated with that, but you know, that's 4th of July. I'm spending time with my kids with fireworks and stuff. So, okay. That, you know, sort of have to do that. But so Meltzer wants to do a Q&A next year at this party. Did I read that correctly?
Yeah,
you did hear that. You did hear that correctly, but, Sir Highlight's already got stuff in motion. He doesn't think that the sweet party is the right size for this kind of an event, especially with people walking around talking, drinking. So he is already – he actually even found a 100-seat theater that we were looking into. Brian not sold on that because he doesn't know how the sound would go, but Sir Highlight is currently looking for a banquet hall that is big enough for everyone and that would have space and where we could have bring in some speakers and microphones and do it, and it would be more part of the banquet than the actual sweet party. Which I think is a good idea,
That's a sweet idea. That's a great idea, and that's another sort of way to entice people to do it. You know, those of us who have been there for a time over the years, you know, I think we're a little bit comfortable to talk to Meltzer and ask him questions. But there are still some people who they're kind of like they walk around on eggshells. They're not sure how to talk to Meltzer or Brian. That's a perfect way to sort of, you know, to do that. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, like I had this one guy, I don't know if I mentioned this to you there on the trip, but this one guy had sent, he was sending me PMs throughout the month. He was like, you know, trying to talk himself into going. And the last one he sent me was, how does it work talking to Meltzer? And at first I kind of had like a good laugh, but then I thought about it, and I'm like, I thought about it, because a lot of these guys that come, especially the first few times, there's a lot of wrestling fans that are introverts. And they start off kind of quiet and shy, and then it takes them like maybe a trip or two before they're really full blown head on into the scene. And you know, I kind of thought about it, so I just told the guy, "Look, just don't be scared of him. Just go right up to him. Don't fucking ask him how his day is going. Don't ask him about his family. Don't small talk. Just dive right in with your questions." And you know, that's what they need to do. And they need to not be scared if he's talking to somebody else. There's a lot of regulars too. Kind of feel they know Dave and are comfortable talking to Dave, and they kind of try and hog his time. I don't mean that in a bad way. I just, only words I could describe it with. But just jump in there. Dave can carry five conversations at once. It's all right. You know what I mean? So just, you know, that's the best way to deal with Dave. He's like, you know, he's only comfortable when he is talking wrestling or UFC. So just don't be afraid of Dave. Just go for it. You know what I mean? And it's funny because that really is a big draw. There are so many people who just want to pick Dave Meltzer's brain. It's kind of amazing, you know.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. So just kind of change subjects, because I the karaoke party, like that, I thought that was a really fun way to sort of cap off Sunday. I think most people, you know, were either were probably leaving Monday. I thought that was a great way to cap it off. For our crew, like, I was surprised to see how many people were not only good at karaoke, Charlie included, by the way. Charlie and Don Cameron were quite the tag team on karaoke. But just, you know, it was like a time for them to, you know, to show a bit of charisma, you know, it's kind of dance around like that. That was a cool deal. I thought, you know, I thought that's a great addition that I hadn't, you know, I hadn't been to one before where everyone sort of did that. So I thought that was awesome.
Yeah. I also liked how at the private suite party, somebody was very adamant that they weren't going to sing at all and wasn't even thinking about it. And then she went up there and stole the stage two times in a row.
I have never done karaoke before. So, but I loved it. I loved watching everybody, do their karaoke. That was really, really fun, just to see everyone kind of break out of just like the normal shell, or, you know, go up there and, like, you know, just rock out to some songs. It was great, and I was adamant about not doing it, but then I saw everyone having an awesome time, and I wanted to have an awesome time, so I went and did it, and it was fun, and I'll probably never do it again, but it was wonderful. And yeah, Charlie, he had said before, he's like, I'm gonna own this. He's like, everyone's gonna sing, and everyone did. Everyone sang along with him. Definitely rocked the house.
Well, actually, I was actually distracted at this time, so I like totally missed Charlie's performance. What the hell did you even sing, Charlie?
Way
I
to
did
go.
Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer.
And but you did, you guys did more than one song.
Oh, yes, I did. And then I did AC/DC.
And then you did what, Charlie? Uh-oh, we lost somebody here. Yeah, we lost Charlie, unfortunately, so I guess we'll have to wait to see if he calls in.
Charlie!
Okay. So I was trying to set Charlie up for his tagline, and hopefully he gives you a call back so he can sort of describe this for you. But so after karaoke, we went out to the Bourbon Room. And at the Bourbon Room, Charlie was screaming at the top of his lungs. You know, he kind of, you know, used his hands to sort of like make a little bit of a megaphone, and he was screaming, "Best in the world."
Why was he saying that? I wasn't even there with you guys.
So he was, 'cause I thought he killed it on karaoke, and you know, he was just in his CM Punk mode for the rest of the evening. I think on the high from about from the karaoke performance. So the rest of the night, he just felt like CM Punk. He was screaming best in the world.
Yeah, well, he is known to be the resident alcoholic of the group when he's there. So, you know, you just add a little alcohol and Charlie's fine and he'll have a good time. But I do have to say one of my favorite things involving Charlie was the mini kiss, mini golf, where I thoroughly kicked his ass and did not actually lose for the first time ever. And that was a great one. And I have an awesome picture of me pointing at him doing the loser sign, and I can't wait to post that in the album.
Yeah, but you didn't win either.
Yeah, but I'm always like one of the worst ones, so I was happy that I actually defeated somebody.
So he's gonna try to call back in from an 898 area code, but I'm not DDP. I don't give myself self high fives. I don't pat myself on the back like Barry Horowitz. But I have to give props to Dazza and myself for winning at mini golf.
Did you guys tie or something?
Yeah, we both tied.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. That's awesome. I'm sure you guys would have beat Brian, and he would have threw a hissy fit had he been there, since he actually gets more into it than anyone else the last couple of years when we play. And he even enjoys destroying his wife at miniature golf.
He was so into it that he didn't even come this time.
Yeah. He was scared he was going to lose this time. He knew I was working hard and making a comeback. But I do got to say I was very impressed with Sherry, because if I'm not mistaken, did you or did you not get like four holes in one?
I got three holes in one. But yeah, it was fun. So I was the guinea pig for y'all. So
she was. She showed us all the ways to either go with the course or not go with the course. And I think it was the back nine that actually got her, because her front nine score, I think she was whipping your ass, Ed, for like the first 10 holes or something.
Yeah.
Oh, she was killing me for the longest time. I couldn't believe it when I found out I won by one stroke. That like blew my mind. I was like, wow. But I liked Sherry, so I didn't rub it in the way I did with Carly.
So wait, so
well,
you don't like Charlie.
And I would have kicked your ass. So
That too. She scares me.
So, I will say that the best time that I had, and this is not to say that every other time, you know, wasn't good, because I think the entire 2 days I was there, I was pretty happy with what was going on. But, you know, the conversation that we all had with Don Cameron, Charlie, and myself, you and Sherry, just hanging out and just shooting the shit on anything and everything, and just we're just laughing so hard and just talking, and you guys had so much alcohol, by the way, from the previous night. Like, that was amazing. How did you get all of that stuff home?
It stayed. It's contributing to the next Riviera Christmas party.
Nice. I really enjoyed that. And just, it just goes to show you that, it's not like I've met you, Ed, like a million times. Like, you know, we've chatted on, you know, message boards and social media, but we only meet, you know, or hang out at these events. But it just goes to show you that, you know, this is a true community, in that you can hang out and just, it's almost like, you know, old friends. And, Charlie, you mentioned Charlie sort of being the resident alcoholic, but, you know, he didn't have his running buddy, Junior Horseman. So I feel like he was a tamer version of Charlie this year. But, you know, that guy just cracks me up to no end. And I just had a fantastic time. And there's not a bad seat in the group. I think everybody's cool.
Yeah, you know, for the most part, everyone is. You know, occasionally there's a little drama here or there, but I mean, for the most part, it's like everyone gets along. And what I really take away from it, you know, that makes me feel good, is the fact that you have these people who have become best friends who would never have met. Like, you know, they weren't here on this trip, but Bluefist and Junior Horseman, they're like best friends. You know, I consider Rodney as much as I hate to admit it, the peach machine. You know, I consider him one of my best friends, and nobody better ever tell him I said that. But, you know, yeah. But, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, I take away from it most of all is just knowing that it affected people on a personal level and changed in some way. Like Dazzo told me, he's like, you changed my life by starting this thing. And we do have another caller on the line. I know he doesn't have a whole lot of time. So if, Gigi, if you want to call back maybe a little later, you're more than welcome to, or if you want to stay on the line, that's fine. But I do need to go to Oliver here pretty soon.
Yeah. No. Go ahead. Go to Oliver. I think even Charlie's trying to call back in as well. But have a great show. Cherry, it was fantastic meeting you. Hope to see you at Mania, which is in my hometown. So,
hi,
you know,
we'll be there.
We'll figure out stuff to do out here for Mania because, you know, this is my home. But, yeah, have a fantastic show. Thanks for letting me get on and shoot the stuff for a few minutes here. And, yeah, let's do it again. And it's going to be a blast every time. Anybody who thinks about coming should definitely make it out.
Cool. And Charlie, call back in half an hour, Charlie. Okay, he already hung up. So let me go to caller calling from area code 720. Oliver, is this you?
Hey, what's up, Ed? How are you?
What's going on, Oliver? How are you doing? First off, I need to ask because I heard you got stuck in Vegas a little longer, and I wanted to make sure, is everything all right?
Sure, absolutely perfect. The problem is just I had an inner ear condition, meaning that I couldn't repressurize, which means I'm fine on the ground, but if I were actually to fly back to Germany, my eardrum could rupture. Didn't want to risk that.
Oh, wow. And how long do you have to wait before you do get to go home?
I actually fly back tomorrow morning.
Oh, okay. So everything's taken care of then. That sounds great.
Everything's taken care of, and personally, I really didn't mind the 4 extra days, to be honest, because, as you know, the convention is always pretty busy, plus 2 UFC events, plus everything else that's going on. I mean, I hardly even got time to shop.
And I've seen you after you shop, and I've seen all the things that you take back to Germany with you, and everything from like grape Kool-Aid to jalapenos and stuff like that.
That's true.
But how did you? I know you're working a little bit because you are part of the media over there. But how did you enjoy the convention this year?
You know what? I was there for the dinner on Friday evening. And for the sweet party, obviously, I tremendously enjoyed both.
Yeah.
Good people,
and,
good stories, good fun.
Good. And you actually brought some company to the sweet party with you, and I'm sure everybody was happy that we had a couple of hot foreign girls show up. So how did you I think you've known them for a little bit. How did you come about bringing them to the sweet party?
Basically, I've known Tammy for about 4 or 5 years now. She used to be a reader of Fighters Only and also came to Vegas for a couple of UFC shows. And I got to meet her when she sent in a letter to the editor, so to speak, because she had taken a photo of her and Sam Stout on an airplane. And I decided to publish it, got in touch with her. We've been friends ever since. And Ashley, her friend, I actually met at the sweet party. I didn't know her before. I just knew her by name.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And they seem to be enjoying.
Apparently, you liked them as well.
Yeah, Tammy was very nice. I very much enjoyed talking to her at the sweet party. She's a sweetheart, and she knows her UFC. So that was pretty cool.
That's true. You don't find that many women who watch the UFC as literally as she does. I mean, she bought magazines. She bought magazines to find out more about the sport.
Wow. And I know that Antonio Thomas on the one audio he did with Brian was mentioning how he was watching the other one from afar. Did he ever have the nerve to come out to talk to her, or was he being a punk the whole night?
Brian Elver?
Tammy's friend.
Yeah. Yeah, who wanted to talk to her?
Antonio Thomas.
You know what? I actually think he didn't. Too bad.
He didn't, yeah. I figured that. I figured he was all talk.
I would have never let him live it down. First thing I would have done is I would have called Kenny Bolin. I would have put him on speakerphone, and I would have basically have him listen to whatever game he brought. And he would call Antonio for every day remaining in his entire life and just rib him about it.
That's funny. Now, Oliver, how did you actually enjoy the UFC shows? Did you go to the second one also, or just the first one?
I went to both shows. I mean, if you're there, you might as well cover both. I felt that the main event on Saturday kind of saved that show. The Uriah Faber fight was pretty good. I was impressed with Bruce Leroy. Uriah would have a lot less trouble with him than he actually did. I was very impressed with Uriah Hall's toughness. I mean, fighting a fight actually on a broken toe, it's not everybody would do that, let's put it this way. And the main event, I mean, I kind of wonder what would have happened had the main event gone one more round. Know what I mean, Ed?
Yeah, he was getting pretty tired there at the end. I mean, it was like I was on the edge of my seat the whole time because I was like, in the back of my head, it's like, oh, my God, he could get knocked out any second here.
I mean, Machida went into Mortal Kombat mode at the end, and I just wonder what would have happened if he had gotten one extra round to finish. Here, everybody always talks about fighters that are clearly down on scorecards, having to go for broke in the fifth round. Hardly anybody ever does that. Machida did. And I honestly believe that Machida made more fans in losing that fight than he made in winning all the ones before that.
Oh, I agree. You have to totally respect him because, you know, I mean, he has that reputation for being the guy who has the boring fights, and he took the fight to him that those two rounds. That was incredible. I really want to ask you, though, about, because I know you know what's going on backstage, what is going on with Stefan Struve? Do you feel that he will ever be able to fight again, or do you think this is just something that happened?
I'm going to have to say two things to that. Number one, I hope he never fights again, just because I feel that his medical issue is a lot more serious than he lets on. The other thing is, I was really worried when the Netherlands played in the afternoon and had to go to the penalty shootout, because I knew that as much as he cared about football, I mean our football, soccer for you, if his team lost, he would have been distraught. Carr probably wouldn't have been able to fight. But then the team won, and I figured everything was good. So about half an hour later, I met Bert Watson by chance, and Bert said that Struve had a sort of a breakdown in his locker room. And I was able to talk to him the day after, and he said that he just completely broke down. I don't know if you ever watched The Sopranos back in the day. Did you watch The Sopranos back in the day?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Did you ever watch The Sopranos back in the day?
Oh, just very sporadically. I never really had HBO.
But you know that Tony Soprano, the mafia boss, always had trouble with panic attacks. And Stefan basically had a Tony Soprano-sized panic attack in the locker room. He was sitting in the shower rocking back and forth when people came in.
Wow. Well, yeah, those aren't good. I mean, I think even your co-host on the when you do the occasional tough talk, I know Mike suffers from that too, and I've known other people, and I know that it can the peach machine used to suffer from those, you know. So yeah, I know that's not a good thing, and especially he's had the procedure he's already had. Supposedly he needs another one. Yeah, I know he's very young, but yeah, I agree. I think he should just transition to something else.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, he needs a heart operation. He knows that the operation is going to end whatever athletic career he has, not just fighting. I mean, anything athletic, doing no anymore after that. But he's only in his mid-20s. He's a young, bright guy. I'm sure he can transition to something else in life. I'm 100% sure that he could be a good trainer at some point. I'm 100% sure that anything he would apply himself to, he could do well. Maybe just not fighting.
Yeah. So hopefully it'll work out for the guy. It was actually kind of sad. Sherry can also attest to this. One of the guys from the website was, I don't know if he's exactly from where Stefan Struve was from, but when he got the news, he went to see Stefan Struve, and when he got the news of that he wasn't fighting, he was basically in tears. Don't you agree, Sherry?
Yeah, we actually met at the dinner party.
Okay.
So, I feel so bad for him.
Yeah, he looked very sad. He was, by the end of the fight, he was fine because there was the great main event, and then I don't know what to say about Ronda. You can't say it was a great fight because it was so one-sided, but it was like the most awesome spectacle. I guess is a good way to say it. And he seemed happy by the end, and at least he had all of us there to hang out with and stuff. So, you know, it wasn't too bad as it could have been. But, yeah, I felt very bad for the guy. He looked like he was literally in tears when he found out.
Yeah. See, the thing is, for me personally, the fight between Stefan Struve and Matt Mitchell was what I was looking forward to the most when I came over to Vegas. Because, number one, Stefan is a good jiu-jitsu guy, very technical, very intelligent fighter, but he doesn't have a chin. Matt Mitrione hits like a truck. But then when you get him on the ground, it seems like he never saw a jiu-jitsu match in his life. So I was kind of intrigued by how it was going to shake out. Matt Mitrione had some time off as well. So 16 months off for Stefan, a couple of months for Matt. How that would have shaken out, I would have been very interested to see.
Yeah, and I figured Struve was a favorite in almost every way, but in the back of my mind, it's like, how much has he recovered from the fight with Mark Hunt? You know, he cracked his jaw very well, so, you know, some guys don't recover from that, but unfortunately we didn't get to find out. I know you got like a lot going on in Vegas right now. I think you said you had some dinner plans and going to go see a show. Can you just give us your overall thoughts on everything else and what you enjoyed in Vegas this year and any, you know, other things you'd like to add to it?
Well, I really enjoyed the sweet parties I had. Thank you so much for setting that up. I really enjoyed meeting Cherry. Is Cherry online as well?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hey, what's up, Cherry? What's up?
Hey.
And I'm going to take you up on your offer for next year. You know that.
Perfect. Perfect.
I was kind of underwhelmed by the tough finale. I mean, the two tough finales themselves were great. Everything before that kind of sucked. And the main event was pretty disillusioning. I don't know what BJ Penn was thinking he was doing. But his stats were like he was fighting, you know, 19th century Marquis of Queensbury boxing and not MMA. Stiff as a board, chin up front. I have no clue what his plan was. I thought he might have had a back injury, but so far nobody has talked about it.
You know, I didn't go to that show, but I did catch like a replay later on that night at one of the casinos, and I only saw the last minute, and that's all I needed to see. That was the most saddest, like it literally hurt me, considering BJ at one time was my favorite fighter, and I had seen him fight live four or five times. I mean, it was absolutely heartbreaking seeing that. I mean, I wish I hadn't seen it.
I'm in the same boat there because I was probably one of the few people who said he didn't want to see BJ Penn come back under any circumstances, just from the memory of how badly he fared against Rory McDonald. It was clear back then that he just didn't have it anymore, and I felt that it might have a very sad ending for his career, losing twice in that way before actually calling it quits. So for me, it was heartbreaking. I really didn't want to be right there, but at the end of the day, BJ Penn has done many great things. He should not be fighting anymore. He's done.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes, you know, they just need to learn to leave their boots in the ring like Cormier did at the wrestling event. You know, hopefully BJ has left his, well, I guess he doesn't have boots in an octagon, but hopefully he's decided to leave it behind because he could be a great trainer, he could be a great analyst, he could do so much more. He doesn't need to put himself through that anymore.
He might as well start off being a broadcaster for all I care. Just don't step back in the octagon. You know? It's like with Pat Barry.
Yeah.
Pat is a great guy, but he's not supposed to fight anymore.
Yeah.
When your body,
I totally agree.
Get out of there. When your body tells you get out of there, get out of there. And Dan Henderson is next.
Yeah, I was just about to bring that up. I wish Dan would have got the memo after the last fight, but, you know, they asked him about it, and he was like, you know, he made it sound like he's not even thinking about that. But, yeah, some of these guys, they need to realize that they're mortal and they're not young and get out before they get hurt, you know. So hopefully they'll learn their lessons. But
one thing I wanted to bring up real quick, since we're in retirement, it didn't really get publicized, but one of my favorite fighters of the last several years in the UFC called it quits a couple of days ago. Marcus Davis has officially retired, also probably a year too late, maybe 2 years too late. But, well, congrats on his new training life. He owns two schools now. He's been a trainer for about a year and a half. So he's another one of the guys who I grew, basically the people who watched Ultimate Fighter grew up with, was also called it quits. Who's next?
Yeah. It seems like all those other guys are pretty much done or near done, and it's like we have this whole new crowd. But unfortunately, there's so many shows. Like the Ultimate Fighter back in the day was different because it instantly made you a star. But now there's been so many, and it's so watered down that it's like you don't get the personalities like Davis, you know, or you know just Levin or all these guys. And you know, I think the women's division has added a little oomph to the UFC overall, but on the long haul, I just see them having they're on a downswing. You know, I don't think they're ever in danger of going out of business. I know they make so much money on TV, but as far as the heyday, I think it's going to be quite a while before we see another one.
You know, it always depends on what you look at, but I feel like there was a big UFC boom a couple years ago, and the boom has kind of tied down a little bit. But now it's a sport; it's just a sport like any other. And to me, that's not even a bad thing. Obviously, it's not going to be as successful as it's been for the past several years, but it's proven to me that it's got staying power. But I'd rather have a sport that kind of lives on a smaller flame, but is consistent over the years, than something that shoots into the stratosphere, is hot, and crashes and burns 2 years later.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they won't crash and burn.
I don't think so. And the other thing is, I've been saying for years now that the talent coming out of the Ultimate Fighter is not that great anymore. But look at TJ Dillashaw. He was an Ultimate Fighter less than 2 years ago.
Yeah, that is true. Now he's, you know, he's a champ now, so.
He's not just a champ.
The occasional guy.
He beat the guy who everybody said was, quote unquote, unbeatable in this division. So you never know what's going to happen. But as far as the depth of characters, of talent, yeah, in the first and second season, that's probably not going to come back anytime soon.
Well, I hear there's a girl making waves on the new Ultimate Fighter, so maybe maybe we'll get some entertainment out. Yeah. But, yeah, thank you very much thank you very much for coming on the show, Oliver. I really appreciate it. Like, I was talking about people who have become good friends over these trips, and, you know, I got to say that you've become one of my best friends on this trip. I very much look forward to seeing you. And we need to get you to come back to the smoking room here in Texas.
Oh, you know it. I just got hooked up yesterday evening, and I had quite the evening, let me put it this way. But give it back. It's always great to see you. I got to hang out with a couple of people yesterday and the day before. Got to hang out with Doc G and his wife. I got to hang out with Dazzle yesterday. Took him to the Pinball Hall of Fame in Vegas. We had a lot of fun at the Pinball Arcade. Again, a lot of people who have been coming to this convention have become good friends over the years. And to me personally, these people are really, really, really valuable.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's great. I mean, and like we were talking about earlier, just like so many new people were this year too, that turned out to be awesome. So, yeah, it'll be great. I can't wait to see you next year.
Oh, definitely. And you better bring back Cherry. Otherwise, we're going to have a problem.
I will be there, I promise.
Very good. Well, what happened with all that booze, by the way? Did you guys finish it off?
No, we left it.
No, a lot of we did start drinking some on Sunday before the karaoke, but unfortunately, the rest of it, I guess, is being contributed to the Riviera Christmas party.
Even the open bottles?
Yeah, but I think your bottle got finished, so.
Okay, sounds good. In any case, yeah. I got to head out. I'm getting looked at quite weirdly here. I'm still, basically I'm in my car at the UFC headquarters in their parking space, and the security guard is looking at me like with a face saying, you better get out of here now. Apparently they don't like the fact that somebody's sitting outside in the car staring at the entrance with a car running.
Well, we better let you go before they try and pull you over, so.
Exactly. Well, I'm already pulled over. I can't pull over any further. Super troopers.
Yeah, aren't they making the Super Troopers too?
Oh yeah, they are. They are. And actually, we're going to be having them over on tour once in Germany. We're bringing over Broken Lizard for a military tour, like the one we just did with the fighters. That's going to be very, very interesting.
Oh, cool, cool.
16 bases, 2 weeks, and 9 stand-up performances. Super Troops tour.
That sounds cool. I'm always, it always sounds interesting reading your posts when you go on these things and seeing those pictures you post. So I'm sure you'll have a good time.
A lot of surprising moments. I got to say, I've never had a group over that was as great as the fighter group we just had. Not one ego. Everybody got along great. Everybody was funny as fuck. I used to say that Chael Sonnen is the funniest person I know. He no longer is.
Well, that's awesome, man. So we'll go ahead and let you go. So you have a good night, Oliver. And like I say, I'm counting the days before we can hang out again.
Most definitely, it's going to happen sooner or later. Trust me.
Awesome.
You guys have fun. Have a great show, and thanks for having me on.
Bye, Oliver.
Thank you, Oliver.
Take care. See ya.
Bye-bye. That was cool. I knew Oliver was busy. I knew he had mentioned he was having dinner with Kevin Ioli and was seeing the show. But that was really great that he took the time to call in.
That
was having
wonderful.
A little bit
let me jump in and say something. I apologize to all the women who were at the street party. You are all wonderful and beautiful. Please do not listen to Ed's comment about bringing hot women, because you're all wonderful. So just disregard that, because everyone there, all the women there were lovely.
Oh, yeah, everyone was there. Everyone there was awesome. I met Oliver's friend, and then I also got to meet Christina from California, who was also awesome, and then I got to talk to her more at the karaoke, and she was super cool. Her friend was cool. I got to meet this one girl who had she's been trying to come out to this, the conventions for a while. Her dad is one of the cup men for the UFC. I'm sure everyone knows Stitch. And his daughter has been wanting to come, but she finally made her first one, and she was wonderful. She was awesome. I enjoyed talking to her. And, Whitney and Bridget are always awesome. Dr. G's sister is awesome. I mean, yeah, all the women there were awesome. And it was a good time. Like I say, I was very happy with the turnout of the women. And speaking of, like, the sweet party, thankfully, things probably could have started off on a bad tone, because right off the bat somebody made a big mess at the bar, and it probably would have gotten worse and worse as people got drunker and drunker. But luckily we were saved, and somebody took it on her own to go behind the bar and take over and take care of everyone for the rest of the night. So big props to you for doing that. That was totally awesome.
Aw, it was no problem. It's one of those things of, I'm from New Orleans. Bartending's in our blood. So it's great. And, that's the best way to meet people, is when people come up to the bar, because they'll hang out. So I didn't miss anybody. I was able to still talk to everyone because everyone was coming for drinks. So it was great for me to be able to stay in place and them come to me instead of me having to run around and go to them. So I was honestly just being lazy.
Everyone said you were making good drinks and that they were very satisfied with the service, and so that was awesome. And that was great. And you also tidied up the room quite a bit too on your own. You didn't have to do that, and that was awesome. And
I cleaned it. Well, I mean, it was I figured people had left cups and stuff, and you leave beer or fruit drinks and all that kind of stuff out, bugs are going to get in it. It's just common. So, of course I cleaned it up.
Well, like I said, that was awesome, because you didn't have to do that, and that was fantastic. But we got a few minutes before our next caller's calling in. You want to run down the UFC show and let's talk about all the fights real quick?
Yeah, let's do that. The first one, can I just do the interesting ones?
Sure, that's fine. That's fine.
I mean,
there were a lot of them.
I know, like, everybody's talking about the big matches with Ronda and with Weidman and everything. But, I mean, honestly, Uriah Hall was, you know, his match, you know, with the broken toe and everything. I mean, it wasn't like a full-on, like, it's not like it was a giant match. Like, you know, they kind of got equal amounts of hits in, and it wasn't like a grand match. But I think the fact that he had a bone sticking out of his foot for a majority of the time was pretty amazing. But I do believe the fact that he won and the fact that right afterwards, instead of, you know, getting off of it and going to a hospital or letting the medical team take care of him, Rogan came up and did an interview, and then he proceeded to cut this, like, inspirational speech about, you know, not just existing and about chasing your dreams and about, you know, when life knocks you down, you get up and say it hits like a bitch, and, you know, just this whole, like, cut for cut, like it was made from a movie, or like he planned it and had like a written speech ready for him. So that was my favorite. I liked that. I'm happy that Ronda won. I'm still, you know, and I will say this till I'm blue in the face, but I'm still sad that she won so quickly. I was looking forward to an actual match, and I know there hasn't been anybody who has been able to go, you know, more than one round with her, saying that, you know, we'd get a little bit more. Because those 16 seconds, I mean, yeah, it was great she won, but it was like, man, she won. Now what do we do for the next, you know, 15 to 20 minutes while we wait for the next match?
I thought this girl was going to put up a fight because she's a real gritty fighter. She wins because she just outgrits everyone and just wants it more. And but when she came out, I could just see the terror in her eyes, and I just didn't have high hopes that it was going to go very long. And all I got to say is, it's like, yeah, in some ways I would have liked to see a longer fight, but in some ways that was an awesome 16 seconds. I mean, it was absolutely incredible.
You know, well, I mean, it was great, but I disagree. Like, I think, you know, yeah, it was a one-sided 16 seconds. I mean, you know, and Alexis Davis, she looked petrified. You know, I mean, like, when they showed the little videos of them talking, you know, about their training, all that kind of stuff, and about each other, Alexis was all, you know, like, I'm going to win. I'm going to get this. I got this. I'm the better fighter. And it's like, all right, let's see that. And then as soon as she came out, and she just stood there and froze. And then Ronda comes out, and Ronda's over in her corner, and she's bouncing, and she's stretching, and she's getting all pumped up and flapping her arms and getting everything all ready. And I look over to see how Alexis is doing, and I look over, and her legs are locked, and she's just standing there, just frozen. And I was like, oh, this is not going to be good. I mean, she was frozen. And, you know, then that first hit that Ronda gave her, and then the knee, and then the flip, and then it was over. And it was like, okay, that was 16 seconds of, I mean, if you're judging 16 seconds against 16 seconds, yeah, that was a great 16 seconds. But if you're judging 16 seconds to what it was supposed to be of a five-minute match, I felt gypped in a way of like, you know, I felt like, man, I wish I would have fought a little bit more. I wish Alexis would have been a little bit more prepared.
I think that's how, like, people used to feel back in the day when I or Mike Tyson used to fight, kind of the same way. But we do have our next caller on the line, so I'm going to get him on the line here. And that is caller calling from area code 858. Is this Dr. Lucha?
It is. Hi to both of you, and I totally agree with Cherry. I kind of felt gypped. Like, I paid, like, all this money for this fight, and I get, like, 16 seconds. It's like they must have known secretly in Joe Silva's head or in Dana White's head that this was a mismatch and that the girl, Alexa, had no chance. But they promoted it like she did have a chance to take my money. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally agree. Hi, Lucia. Hi, how are you doing?
But anyway, I saw it at Diablo's. Diablo's is this bar slash restaurant, bar on the second floor, restaurant on the first floor. And the restaurant, of course, has a bar in it. It's at the edge of the Monte Carlo, between Monte Carlo and New York, New York. And that's where a lot of people apparently had watched it last year. And when I got there, I got there about, match 7 or 8 on the card, and it was already so crowded that even if there had been somebody from our crew there, I don't think they would. I couldn't find them. So if they were there, I couldn't find them. The people I had thought were going to be there weren't there, and it was quite the experience. But when Rhonda came out and she won in 16 seconds, the place just went nuts. And I it's not so much I think it was a betting thing or a seeing one person win over the other. I think she is the charismatic kind that really gets people to feel what she feels and to see how she feels. And I think your Mike Tyson analysis is pretty correct. This is pretty much she's doing what pretty much I remember Mike Tyson doing in his prime.
Yeah, she has that charisma. She's just so special when you compare it to the other women. You know, there's some charismatic ones, Misha Tate's charismatic, but there's no one that adds the charismatic with the skill and just when she comes out in her mean face, you know, that just, you know.
Cherry could take her, I know. Just put promote the match for next year's suite and Cherry could take her.
Yeah, I got it. Let's do this. I'll just start training.
Hey, look, I'll get in the ring against her for 6 figures or 7 figures or whatever it is they're paying somebody to get on the other side of her. And
yeah.
I won't be afraid, and I'll honestly fight my best, and I may only last 16 seconds. But I would do it for that amount of money.
I would too.
Do you know how much you make an hour?
If
you make $100,000 in 16 seconds, do you know how much that is an hour? It's like multiple millions of dollars an hour.
Yeah.
It's,
I don't know.
Like
I think I'd
almost
be
as much as they pay bartenders in New Orleans.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. No. Not even close.
What, they don't make millions of dollars an hour?
No, they don't. I mean, you know, the tips can be good during certain times, but they don't make a lot. But we try our best.
Has anybody asked you? I haven't listened to the whole show. Anybody asked you yet? How were things during WrestleMania? Is the wrestling crowd a good tipping crowd and a good bar hopping crowd? And are the wrestling fans all family guys?
They were wonderful. They were a good, like, That was a wonderful crowd. They tip well. Everything, like all the different shows we had, like our burlesque shows and stuff, were all well attended. You know, like it was a very good tipping crowd, a very good, you know, hospitality wise. You know, nobody was like super obnoxious or destroying anything. You know, a lot of people come to New Orleans and just kind of cut loose and don't care about the city and end up, like, you know, just throwing shit everywhere and not caring what they destroy on the streets. And, like, it was wonderful. I would love the wrestling crowd back again because they're a lot better than, I'd say, like, you know, the Atlanta Falcons crowd or, you know, other
or NBA fans after they win a title. Those guys are just calm and they go back to bed.
Yeah.
Not here.
Yeah.
But Sherry, I wanted to ask you, didn't you throw like a wrestling shout out to one of your crowds at one of your shows?
Did I do the what? At one of my shows when I was performing, yeah, I did like little wrestling things during my performance that only they would get, and they cheered and were very happy.
Did
cool.
you like do the John Cena, You Can't See Me, like at the end of
I
one
did.
Of your?
Yeah, I did the You Can't See Me right before I dropped to the ground and did a tassel twirl. So it was great. But I loved hanging out with Dr. Lucha. It was wonderful to hear everything.
Do you think I could make it as a taxi driver?
I think you would be the. I would so hire you every time. I would just have you on speed dial.
Maybe I should, you know, with Uber and stuff like that. Maybe I should get into that.
I think you should. You were the best taxi driver ever.
But, I enjoyed hanging out with you, Cherry, and I'm sure you were probably the second best person, female, in the entire group to hang out with. But I got to hang out with number one, guys. I got
exactly.
to hang out with Granny.
Yeah.
I got to hang out with
yeah.
Granny a lot. So
yeah,
that's an interesting
awesome.
Experience in and of itself, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, Granny's awesome. You know, it's too bad she had the one bad day where she, her knee hurt, but she's ready to go back for next year. And she guilted Brian into making sure that they stay at the same hotel and get on the same plane. And she's gonna be all
yeah.
over Brian, so that's gonna be fun.
Well, that means she's staying at the same hotel that Brian and Whitney have stayed at for like four straight years, because they love them some Tropicana.
Yeah, they have been staying there for quite a while. And it's a good spot.
I haven't stayed there in many years, but I've only heard good things about it since its remodel.
Yeah, and it's a good spot, especially for Granny, so she didn't have to walk too far. You know, I mean, everything we do is either at Excalibur or MGM or right in that vicinity. So that'll be good, because she's been staying downtown or, you know, other places where, you know,
yes.
you have to drive her and pick her up a little more. This will make it more
convenient.
Yeah,
she had a bad experience at the Luxor.
Oh,
so the Tropicana
right,
will do her good.
Yeah.
I mean, not a bad experience as in like a literally bad experience. It's just for her taste. For her taste, she did not like the Luxor. She didn't like it at all. So we got to
yeah.
find her something else in that area to
yeah.
supply
and
them. So,
and apparently she didn't like Caesars at all either. And I kind of had
that
a
is,
feeling.
Oh, for somebody who's alone and has a bad knee, I wouldn't be in Caesars just between you, me, and the wall and everybody, the thousands and hundreds of thousands of people listening in. That place is
yeah.
like a maze to get through.
Yeah, it's almost as bad as MGM.
Yeah, it's a lot of walking in both of those.
Yeah, and I think we should pitch in next year, and I know she might not want to, but we should like pitch in and get her a scooter or something. Just make it easier on her, you know what I mean?
I broached that topic to her, and though she was, you know, she wanted to keep her pride in her walking about her, she's not as opposed to it as she used to be.
Yeah. But,
so I think
if we
work on her, we can get that. But Ed, were you involved in any way in planning of the Wendy's trip?
No, actually I wasn't, and sadly I missed it because I was buying a new phone because I screwed up the phone that I took with me. In a hot tub incident.
The hot tub reached
hot
up
tub
and attacked
incident.
Your phone. It's
yeah.
terrible. Those
so,
hot tubs there in Vegas are just mean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
they're
they
so
are.
Aggressive. Yeah. And what, 3 hours at the – it was wonderful. I got to sight see so much that day and see 3 hours of the inside of the Verizon Wireless store.
Well, I'm glad you were there to keep the company, because
that is service above
really,
and
really
beyond the Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the
I
funny thing is I had my phone stolen from the South Point Casino the last time I was in Vegas. Now, granted,
oh,
I fully admit I laid it down and walked away from it for a few seconds. So I was at fault for leaving it where somebody could steal it, but they stole it. So, yeah, Cherry, I had to spend like an hour in the AT&T store trying to get it, you know. Because I had insurance, it was the insurance thing that did it, and I had to try and get the phone by going through the insurance so I didn't have to pay full price for the handset.
Right.
Well, Dr. Lisa,
that was
fine. I did have one complaint for you.
Okay.
And that was you were very nice enough to pick me up for the airport, and I very much appreciate it, and it was awesome
mm-hmm.
having such an awesome person like Whitney in the back seat. But unfortunately, You had Brian in the back seat, and that just, like, totally brought the whole...
He's very quiet back there. He and Whitney come as a two-for-one special, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the bad part, you know. I thoroughly enjoy hanging out with Whitney, but unfortunately, you got to put up with the midget, too.
I was going to say, with me, Brian, and Whitney in the back seat of the taxi when we were leaving the first dinner on Thursday, and Ed had to sit up front, so it was Brian in between me and Whitney.
That's, yeah, it's the three of you are all in excellent shape, though. The three of you can contort yourself and are not not robust and corpulent like Ed and Oliver and I are. The three of us in the back seat of a bus would be tough.
I don't think me and Oliver could fit just the two of us could fit in the back seat of a car.
By the way, I very much enjoyed Oliver's talk there. It's clear he Ed, it's clear he knows some things he probably can't say publicly, but he would tell you if you were alone. Listen, he really has some sources. He really, really has some inside sources, and he is smart enough to know what he can and can't say in public. So he is a fountain of information.
He is.
If any of the listeners ever have a chance to meet him or talk to him, I recommend it.
Yeah, the saying Oliver knows is true. Oliver knows, and I've had many of those conversations, and for people who think that I can't keep a secret, you're very much wrong, because I have dozens and dozens of secrets I've gotten from Oliver that I have kept, so I can't keep a secret when I am specifically told to keep a secret.
Yes,
but,
okay.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
So we both highly recommend Oliver as a talking companion, as a dining companion, because he also knows his food very well. And if you're in menus like if you're in there with a bunch of wrestling fans or MMA fans, because I ate dinner with him at Fort Lauderdale for that WrestleMania, and then here at I was at the same table at the Fogo Chow with him. And if you need menu recommendations, he's tried it all before.
Well, actually, I think you meant Buco de Beppo. I don't think he was at Fogo de Chow. But speaking of
Buco de Beppo,
places,
I'm sorry, Buco de Beppo. Buco de Beppo.
How did you enjoy both meals?
I enjoyed both of them, but they were different. Fogo de Chow is like you have a salad to wake your taste buds up, and then it's one course meal, but a lot of little variations on that course. You just get fed meat. It's all meat all the time. And you've got, chicken. You've got a little tiny chicken legs. I don't know where they grow these tiny midget chickens. Maybe they're minis in the Mexican backyards or something like that. Mini chickens. But the tiny little chicken legs, and they had filet mignon on a stick, which I don't think I had ever seen filet mignon on a stick before. That was actually my favorite food. Whereas Buco de Beppo, it was Italian, but they had a wide variety of things. I mean, you could have been vegetarian and eaten there and not had a problem, and you could have been a fish lover and eaten there and stuff. And they brought various things to the table for us, and they were both I highly enjoyed both of them.
That's
one
good.
Of them, of course, is much more expensive than the other one.
Yes, that's true. One was almost double.
One's 50% more expensive than the other one.
Yeah, I know Sherry was on like meat overload after the first night. Have you had any meat since then, Sherry?
I have not. I have not had any meat since Thursday.
It's funny you say that,
because
I haven't had much either.
Yeah, there was so much. There was so much meat. I didn't know what to do. And at one point, like, they just kept coming, and I didn't even know what they were saying to me. I just kept saying yes, and they just kept putting this wonderful bloody meat on my plate, and I was so excited. And then I was like,
well, you had to turn your card from red to green, or green to red, or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah. It was still green, but I was so excited, and I think I was, like, I don't know, just, like, high off the proteins of steak or something like that, because I was just like, oh, I don't know. Oh, that's right. I got to flip the card over to red in order to stop them from doing this madness. There was so much meat. I tapped out at the end, but it was wonderful.
That's a good way to put it. So that's pretty much how Whitney felt, because as I was the last driver at the table, and so the next seat that was available was next to Whitney. Hey, next to Whitney, I've never seen her eat that much food before in my life. She eats, but she does, she eats a classic balanced meal, two or three times a day. And
that damn peace machine has her eating almonds all day long, and it ruins her appetite.
Yeah, right. She does good. She does well. Everybody that was at the Fogo de Chao, I think, was very, very pleased with the way it turned out. The only complaint I would have, and it's no complaint, I mean, it's life circumstances, stuff like that, there's two. One is it's off the strip. It's not way off the strip. If you can go to the Hard Rock, then this is just two blocks over and two blocks up. But nonetheless, it's off the strip. And when you're walking in 100-degree weather and sunlight and stuff, that's probably not the most pleasant thing to do. And I wish we had gotten more than just 17 people, because we had like 53 for Buca de Beppo. I wish we could get people to come in one day earlier. Next year, everybody come in one day earlier.
Yeah, it was that, and also like 75, you know, that is expensive for some people because,
well, then you can,
like me,
you can
I
go afterwards
all year
with Ed to the
I
bar.
Put my money, I put my money to the side, so, you know, I don't have a problem spending the price, but, you know, somebody who's coming on a budget, you know, they set $75, that is a little high for them, so it's understandable.
Mm-hmm.
But I honestly thought we got more than, I was thinking maybe a dozen, you know, when at first, because it was kind of slow going on that one. And it was a little slow going on the banquet. I mean, for a couple weeks out, we were at 30-something, and then I kind of made that hard push to get Dave and them to push just a little more and got Dave to do it on the updates and on the show, and we jumped like to 53, you know, right after, you know.
And they all showed up at the Embassy Suites.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that was a good party. Unfortunately, you know, a few people were getting – I don't want to say frustrated, but, you know, they're impatiently waiting for the booze to arrive. And I need to work on getting that. And because I went and got the sodas and stuff earlier, I should have just, you know, I didn't want to make a PayPal like the other years for people to pitch in. I figured I'll just ask there. But I think that's the best way to get the money beforehand and have everything before because, you know, Marco
and I can commit to help you with transportation, getting back and forth from the grocery stores or whatever, so we can make the things we do buy as inexpensive as possible.
Yeah. And then, like, you know, Marco and them, they did a good job, but it was just, you know, it's the night, the 4th of July. There was so much traffic. It took them a while to get to the suite. And, well, it's funny, though, because we're waiting, and then the one guy, Orson, and his wife, I knew they were bringing some booze, and they come in, they didn't have anything, and I was like, uh-oh. And he's like, don't worry, the doorman's coming. And all of a sudden, here comes the doorman with three big old bags full of wine. And I'm like, oh, my God, I hope he doesn't tattle on us. But
Cherry and Ed, where were you guys when the fireworks went off and then it started to rain? Were you already in the suite?
Yes, we were. We were all, there were a lot of us already in the suite. I stayed in the suite. While Ed went to go get the booze and figure stuff out. So I stayed and, like, looked. I was out on the balcony actually watching the fireworks.
Uh-huh.
Apparently there were people waiting outside the door who didn't knock, so
yes,
I couldn't hear
yes,
them.
Yes, waiting for you.
Waiting for me to open the door.
Uh-huh.
So then they came in, and all of us poured outside onto the balcony to watch the fireworks. And then there was, like, a lightning storm going on at the same time, so that was cool. And then it started to rain, so everybody, like, ran inside and, like, closed the door and, like, pulled in some of the chairs from outside on the balcony so that people had places. Yeah, and then everybody stayed inside after that.
Well, that sounds very cool.
It was not raining because there were quite a few people who hung out outside during the actual suite party. But, yeah, it was funny. I did see everybody – like, I did see the herd come running back inside when it started raining. I thought that was pretty funny.
That is funny. Like, they get wet in the shower, but a little few drops of rain, and they go scurrying back inside.
Oh, yeah. We were running.
Poor Ed. He spends all year renting this suite, and here's the night of the party. The night of the party, no less. And Brian commandeers his bedroom for hours.
And Todd Martin commandeered my bed.
Well, Tom Barton just completely passed out. He was sheer exhaustion. I didn't hear the full story, but whatever it was, sheer exhaustion. He was like, I've never seen him that tired before.
But, yeah, I thought that was funny. I just, because someone had mentioned it when we were on the patio, and I look in, and there's Todd Martin asleep on my bed. I was like, okay. I know Todd's not staying there all night, so it's all right.
The first timers there, Ed all swore that bedroom window was a two-way window, was a two-way mirror, a two-way window or whatever, that, like, it was a mirror on your side and that we could see in. And I was thinking, no, not exactly.
Yeah, no, it was a normal mirror. But one question I wanted to ask you, Dr. Lucha, because we did have so many new people, and we were kind of talking about, like, some of them were asking me about how it goes to talk to Dave. How many of the new people were not shy about coming up to you and talking to you? Did you get to meet a lot of the new people, or was it some of the regulars that she talked to the most?
Oh, no, I spend as much time with new people like David and John, a couple of new guys that are younger guys that were at their first convention of wrestling convention, as far as I know, of any kind, to people that I had known had come to conventions before, but I hadn't met them. Like, I hadn't met Antonio before that I know of. He may have been at conventions I'd been at before, but I didn't know him. And I don't know, Cherry, how many of these conventions have you gone to?
This is my first one.
Besides
WrestleMania, this was my first actual convention.
Yeah, so that counts as well. Don't be afraid, new people like me who are completely harmless and can carry on a general conversation are as anxious to meet you as you are to meet them. And there were in any group of 53, you're going to have some cliques because you have some people that know each other, and cliques may not be the right word. But you'll have groups of people that know each other going back 10 or 15 or 20 years. I've known Dave Meltzer for almost 30 years and others. So, I mean, it's not that there's not going to be people hanging out with each other because they already know each other, but you will not be stranded. You will not be left alone, and you will always have somebody to speak with and to meet with. And I wouldn't say at this convention there were maybe three or four people, one of whom is a very good butt photo model, that are a little more, really intent on just hanging around with the people that they know. And 90% of the people are very anxious to meet new people because, you know, I was a new person myself once. People came up to me and asked me a lot of things, but the funny thing was not funny, but that happens a lot at WrestleMania. It doesn't happen as much at UFC conventions because I don't carry that aura. And in fact, some of the UFC people or people at the UFC conventions actually don't have any interest in Lucha Libre. Can you believe that?
No, I can't believe that. That's ridiculous.
It's amazing, but true. They actually don't care about it. They just care about quote unquote real fighting.
You know what I noticed about this convention?
I'll tell them I'll put them in the ring with Super Porky, and we'll see about real fighting.
Oh, yeah, I remember Super Porky when he fought. But you know what I noticed about this one is that there
I'm teasing. Porky's fat and couldn't beat that many people anymore. Yeah, go ahead.
He could. I don't have a bad thing to say about Super Porky.
Well, no, he really does gas out at 30 seconds. If you're ever in a real fight with him, just run for 30 seconds.
Yeah. But I actually thought that because this is the UFC weekend, and you'll get people who've been coming are maybe more than UFC fans than wrestling fans. But mm-hmm. this year, I actually felt there were more wrestling fans than UFC fans. Like the UFC event, even though it was a big show, to me, it's become secondary now, you know?
Well, that's because you throw a good party. I mean, even if it were a Lucha Libre show that I had gone to, the real deal to me, the real reason for going is to hook up with you again for a little while, for a weekend, and to meet new people like Cherry, and to talk to, you know, the people that I communicate with via Facebook or social media or whatever, but don't see all year long, like Ryan and Jessica from as far away as Canada and Derek from the other side of the country and et cetera, et cetera. It's now by far, I mean, we could literally get together with nothing to go to, and it would be a great weekend. The fact that there is something to go to helps. It really does help. I mean, I'm glad we do it around either a WrestleMania or a UFC big card, but we now have become well enough acquainted and know others' interests and like to do similar things well enough as a group of 50 to 60 of us that we could just, you know, we could just meet up in a weekend in San Antonio and just have a blast were that the case.
Yeah, we should do that the next time there's a interesting.
You're a good party thrower, buddy.
Well, thank you, sir.
You know what you're doing. You don't ever play favorites and exclude people and which I've known. Believe me, I have known hosts in my lifetime that did that.
Yeah,
you're always gregarious and always trying to have fun, always making it fun.
Well, I know we get a lot of shy people, so it's like, you know, you got to talk to them and kind of, you know, make them feel welcome. You know what I mean? And I've talked to like a bunch of the new guys and stuff, and I try to encourage them.
Yeah,
there were a couple of very shy people,
and you're right. You're right. I mean, they're there for the first time, and they know nobody. The first time they walk through the door, they know nobody or one person, and here's 50 strangers, and going up and it's just they're shy. Going up and introducing themselves is just not their first nature like it is for me or you.
Yeah. Now, like one of those people, he's been to a few conventions. Did you get a chance to talk to Barack at dinner?
I did not get the chance to talk to Barack at dinner, sadly.
Okay.
I was over there with Antonio, and trying to keep him away from crime time.
Yeah. But what I was going to bring up about Barack is one thing that I'm real proud of regarding the people who go and Brian's website is, you know, Barack had his incident before WrestleMania where he unfortunately basically almost died. You know what I mean? And when we saw him that Monday, you could tell he was in rough shape.
I did get to hang out with him and with Kathleen during the weekend. I just not at that dinner.
Oh, yeah. And, you know,
I take that back. They were at my table. They were just being very quiet.
Yeah. He's a people watcher. That's what I've learned from him over the last few years. He might be sitting there quiet, but he is enjoying himself just taking in everything. But, like, you know, we helped to raise some of the money to help get him there because of, you know, they had all the doctor's bills. And a few years ago when we did lose a member of the website who actually did die, and we raised money to bring his sister and his dad and a couple other members of the family. And that's just another thing that's I'm real proud about the convention because I'll never forget when Michelle came and she gave that big speech. And I just remember almost everybody at the banquet was teary-eyed. And I just remember having to try and follow that. And that was something else. But, I mean, that was such a touching speech that she gave. And I know Barack and Kathleen were very happy that people helped. And, you know, all the letters and stuff that they received. And it's such an awesome thing. I mean, it's such
an
awesome
thing. It's like they've had the worst karma, too, because here WrestleMania comes to their backyard because they're in Baton Rouge. And he has to go to the hospital.
Yeah. But yeah,
so how fair is that?
He looks so much better. I mean, than he did. I mean, his you could just see it in his eyes that first the day we saw him. You could tell he couldn't. His eyes just looked hazed over, and now they look so much better. And he's not his eyesight's not perfect, but it's gotten so much better. And luckily, his job is being very, very good. And they're he's welcome back as soon as he's ready to come back. You know, some jobs they're not going to do that. But I was really glad that they made it and how good he's doing, and that was awesome seeing that.
It was a lot of fun, and at least at that dinner, they didn't force us to eat. Everybody eat from the buffet, or everybody eat a la carte. And no, we can't add anybody a la carte onto your menu if you all choose buffets.
Yeah, that did start off as a clusterfuck.
It continued to be a clusterfuck.
It got better, though. It got a little better. Everyone started finally getting what they ordered.
Nope.
Tell the people a little more about it from your end, because from my end down at the end, we managed to find a way around to get our two last people to order off the menu. But
oh, did you? We didn't. It was Charlie and Don were, in Siberian exile. When it came to they couldn't even have the food near them, it was pretty rough. That was pretty harsh.
Have you told the story tonight, Ed? The background?
No,
we have not told the story.
Yeah, just briefly in a 30-second background. This is Pink Tacos at Hard Rock right before we go to Miniature Golf. It's their Sunday brunch. And they tried to tell us you had a party of 20 and you can only eat all a la carte from the menu or all eat buffet, and the buffet is $25 before taxes. So if you don't eat the buffet, you're not eating anything. So now I'll let Sherry pick back up.
Yeah. So I really didn't want the buffet. I wanted to eat, but I was like, I don't want that much. I don't want $25 worth of food. You know, it's not more. And but we were all forced to, and if you didn't get the buffet, then you were sent into exile.
Exile.
And you couldn't get anything, and the food couldn't be near you. You couldn't order for other people, like, that had left the table. Like, you couldn't, like, it was, so, yeah, Charlie and Don were, they were in exile. And it was pretty rough. And then the food, like, you know, you'd order it, and then, like, other people would bring it, but they would either just set it in the middle or set it at the opposite end. So it would either just sit there, so they wouldn't announce what it was when you'd be waiting. And Gigi actually didn't get to eat until probably, like, I'd say, like, 40 minutes into everyone already eating. Like, he's like, where's my food that I ordered? And it had already been consumed by other people because they'd ordered the same thing. Because the menu was very limited
mm-hmm.
as well. So, I mean, like, that's the thing is, like, a lot of us all ordered the exact same thing because the menu was small. It was, like, a one-page menu, you know. And it was very limited, so a lot of us ordered the same thing. And so, yeah, it had been consumed. And then, for some reason, they kept bringing out more and more lobster quesadillas, even though there was only, like, three orders. So there was, like, you know, three individual people ordered them. We all had ours. We all ate them. And then all of a sudden, like, two more come. And then another one comes. And everybody's like, who ordered all these lobster quesadillas?
There were a lot of lobster quesadillas. I do remember that, but
and very few pink
tacos. I will take full blame for the pink taco thing. I figured it would be easier since it was right across the street. They just recently went to that brunch thing, so they're not even prepared or, you know, used to it. So that didn't help. And
It's not your fault. It was just a pretty crazy thing for them to not.
Yeah, at our end of the table, nobody was that upset. They were the only thing they were kind of really upset at was the price.
Yeah,
they
that's what I was
the
upset about too.
The price
yeah.
was fair, but you know they were on they were in Las Vegas
like,
and.
Yeah, like I definitely got more food that I paid for, but then Sherry, of course, didn't eat, you know, as much, and I'm sure it was like that, you know. For many people, but as far as the food quality, I thought the food was actually excellent, and I'm a Mexican snob, so I thought that was good. But yes, it was kind of a clusterfuck. Next year, I know Tracy Lee is always taking these fighters to this new place that's down the street. I don't know if it's down the street, but not too far. Maybe we'll hit up that one instead because it's like in the vicinity. And, you know, you just got to try different things. You know, you just got to see how it goes. And, you know, it wasn't
yeah,
like
you
a
can't
disaster.
Blame your, you can't blame
perfect.
Yourself, though. You didn't know.
Okay.
I mean, you know, and just, you know, pink taco, get your shit together.
Yeah. Yeah, that too. So, you know, we'll definitely.
It's not as bad. I mean, with people like Hi-Li and lawyers like Todd in our party, surely we should be able to negotiate something ahead of time.
Right.
As I said to the lady at my end of the table, look, they can get people to the moon. Surely you can take these two guys and just, like, give them an order of something or another.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and they did. In the end, they did.
Oh.
Yeah.
Poor Charlie and Don.
That's the first time anybody's ever said, poor Charlie.
No, I'm pretty sure his parents say that all the time.
Well, they say, poor us. I'm bragging on Charlie for no good reason. Oh, no, wait, he lives in Detroit. There's a good reason for ragging on Charlie.
Yeah. Well, Charlie's good about it because he can take it and he can definitely give it out. And he's giving it out all weekend, so.
Yeah, the funny thing was, where was it? The first day he was there, he was just, it was unusual Charlie. It was like he was so quiet because he was tired. He was travel tired. Jet lagged or whatever, and he was like, he's really just sitting there, just kind of, you know, being as calm as I was, which is like just a terrible thing to say about somebody.
Yeah, well, he had his moments, that's for sure.
You had a wide variety of weekend. You did karaoke, and you did drinking, and you did hosting, but you also played miniature golf.
Yes, and I didn't lose this time. It's a miracle.
How many holes in one did you guys get?
I got two, I guess, if you count the last one.
I got
like
three.
Four, I think.
Three.
Well, if you count the last one, yeah, four. But yeah.
Oh, four. I got one. That's just one. And the funny thing was, it was on like one of the hardest hole of the whole course. It was just sheer luck.
Yeah, I know. If Brian was there, he would have been going crazy, you know, trying to get a hole in one on every single thing.
Yeah. Well, that's true. So it turned out well.
The only thing that I didn't get to do, and that was because, like we mentioned earlier, doing the phone. But how was the Wendy's? Because I know it's not actually. I knew in advance that it wasn't an actual Wendy's. It's just a counter at the food court. So,
it's a counter at the food court. It's not even connected to a hotel. It's just a food court in the middle of, like, the Las Vegas Strip across from Monte Carlo. It was amazing that we had that many people there. Nobody expected 21 total people to show up. And, of course, Don showed up without a beard, so that was also a surprise. He had shaved, like, 30 minutes, 45 minutes right before he came. Years of growth of a beard he shaved off, so. But
yeah, he was real adamant of having this beard club, and then I guess the heat got to him or something, because it didn't stay very long.
No, but it wasn't nearly, I didn't think it wasn't as nearly as hot as it was the year before. The year before was brutal.
Oh, yes, definitely. I totally agree with that.
I remember the year before, I literally didn't want to go outside, and this year I was wearing jeans. I was wearing long pants outside because it didn't bother me.
Yeah, that wasn't too bad.
But we went all that way to Wendy's and made all that effort, and all she had was a hamburger or a cheeseburger. It was like, that's it? That's all you wanted?
You know, what's amazing is, okay, for the Christmas show, I sent her that $80 gift card for Wendy's. And I think R.D. Reynolds sent her also a Wendy's gift card. And she went through it in like 4 months. I thought she would be set for like the whole year, but I think she was, like, treating all of her family and friends to Wendy's.
That's it. It wasn't just her eating it.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, as long as Granny's having a good time, you know, as much as, you know, I give her a hard time. Well, when I give her a hard time on the questions for the show, it's usually for Granny to just call Granny on me, like she did on this last show when someone asked if she thought who was the most dashing between me, Brian, Vinny, and Craig, and she agreed that the other three were dashing and I'm not. You know, she's
new glasses, that's it.
Yeah, so obviously I'm very dashing.
Obviously, except when you wear those black and silver t-shirts.
No, those silver and black t-shirts are awesome. I should have brought you one and brought you a cap.
They are the fashion faux pas of the century.
No, I disagree, my friend. But you've been on for quite a while, Dr. Lucha. Do you have any more? We'll go ahead and let you get back to your night. But any last things you want to talk about or bring up that we haven't already?
Well, as far as this convention goes, first it's to thank you because I, as part of my work before, I recently got a couple of promotions, which weren't really promotions; they were transfers and a slight bump up, but nonetheless, we'll call them promotions. And what I used to do before this included event planning and arranging meals and hotel stays and stuff like that. And I know what a pain in the rear end it can be to get all this together and have it, like a good meal, to get everything ready at the same time and have it all come to fruition at the same time. And you do a great, great job getting everything planned and organized. And you don't make the rookie mistake that a lot of people do is trying to do it all yourself and never asking for any help, because that's a recipe for disaster and stress.
I learned that on the second one because we had the dinner at Gallagher Steakhouse, and of course because of the number we had to go to the casino, and I pretty much told everybody the price was this, and then the final bill came out, it was much, much higher, and I felt horrible after that. I mean, no one complained, but you know, just their faces when they got the bill is like, wait a minute, you know what I mean? So thank the gods for Highlight stepped up, and he does so much. I mean, he wasn't even there, and he set up the banquet, you know. So hopefully he'll be there next year.
Yeah, if you're listening, Scott, we want to see you again.
Yeah, and bring your punk little kid so I can kick him in the ass.
He's a 21-year-old kid who looks like he's 7. That guy.
Well, he's 7, but he's as tall as he's like 21.
Okay, well, fair enough. No, that's, yeah, I want to say that. I want to say you never know who ahead of time you're going to meet that you gel with or who you're going to meet that you're really impressed by. And that this is a verbal bouquet over the phone for Cherry. I very much enjoyed meeting with you, even though at most total we hung out for about 10 minutes the whole trip. Nonetheless, it was very enjoyable, and you would be a highlight of my deciding to come back the next time. That's something I would very much be looking forward to.
Well, I will be there next time for sure. So we will definitely make sure to hang out more next time for sure.
Very, very, very impressed. And otherwise, it was I think on the whole this year's was my favorite. It had, you know, you're missing people like Klitz and Peach Machine and Robert and Side. I mean, it's not exactly the same crew as like 3 years ago. But, you know, people get married and life goes on, and you're never going to have just a continuing ongoing same set. And I really, really enjoy the speed and the energy level of the new people that were there.
Oh, yeah, it was great. It was absolutely awesome. I'm glad you made it. I'm glad you're moving to Vegas. So if I ever just take a solo trip, I know I'll have someone to call if I get into trouble. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The target date on that, everybody's about Labor Day.
Yeah, cool. I know, I'll be like, Dr. Lucha, I was robbed by a lady the night. I need help.
Wait, my phone. My phone, the hot tub attacked my phone again.
I can't believe it.
Twice in 1 year, it's attacked my phone.
Cool. Well, Dr. Lucha, we'll go ahead and let you go and let you enjoy the rest of your night. And we do have another caller on the line. We'll get to here in just a second. So, yeah, once again, Dr. Lucha, thank you for coming out, and thank you for taking the time to be on the show.
All right.
And we will see you soon.
Thanks for inviting me. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Take it easy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, well, we got another caller, and supposedly he wanted to call in because he has rumors or stories about one Greg or Crowbro. So let me get him on the line. Jeff, are you there?
I am here, Ed. How are you?
We're doing pretty good. How are you doing?
Oh, you know, living the dream, doing a little day drinking. I'm all right now.
That sounds good. Now, supposedly you have some stories about Crowbro, so why don't you go ahead and...
Oh, no. It's not about Crowbro per se, but Crowbro cock-blocked me at karaoke. And by the way, this was the mistake I made last year. If you come out to the convention, stay the extra night, leave on Monday, wait for all the traffic to leave Sunday, and go to karaoke, man. That was a blast. I loved that.
Yeah, it was a good time, but tell us the cock-blocking story. Who were you trying to hit on?
The Filipina girl who sang Olivia Newton-John, Hopelessly Devoted to You, obviously a breakup song or something to that effect, but very nice girl, but we're talking to one another. She's a concierge at the Link, so, hey, maybe I can finagle that into some perks for next year. But, but we're talking, and she asked me the time, and I do this. I don't know if you do this with your phone. If you're ever talking to someone, they ask you the time, but you just show them the display of your phone to show them the time to make sure you know you're not working them on whatever it is or lying. But on there, while I'm talking to her, unbeknownst to me, from across the bar, he's texted the words yellow fever in all caps. And as I show her the phone, the text message comes up, and she gets pissed and walks away.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. That's
I wanted to kill him.
Oh, man. That is harsh. His life would have been in danger if he would have done that to me.
But I ran into her later on my way back to my car, and it was all cool. She was just moody over her breakup and whatnot, so whatever.
Oh dear God!
Oh, the other great story. I'm one of those guys who was very shy last year because I didn't know anybody at the convention. So this year, I walk into Buca di Beppo, and I just go, "I'm sitting amongst people I don't know." So start talking, mother effers. And so I do, and everybody's just kind of taken aback. And there's this poor kid at my table. I think his name was Jeremy or Jeremiah, redhead kid with glasses. All I can remember. But he's the guy who Antonio Thomas turns around to start talking. He goes, "I'm sorry about your injury." And I knew immediately he had confused him with Tom Lawler because there was that rumor that Tom Lawler might be showing up.
Oh, yeah.
So I got an outburst. "Do you know who this is?" And he just looks at me for a moment and keeps on talking. I'm like, "All right, brother, I'm not going to stop this car wreck." So he talks to him like he's Tom Lawler for about 2 minutes.
That's funny. I'm surprised Tom Lawler was supposed to show up. But I don't remember him showing up anywhere, unfortunately.
Was he in town for UFC?
He told me he was going like last minute because he had to cancel his fight. And,
He had
tweeted me that he was there, and he was asked where the plans were, and someone tweeted him back that it's in the update. And then come to find out, it was the update where Dave had the wrong information, so he may have been there. He just may have gone to where we were 3 years ago.
Oh, man. No, I love it. My favorite entrances in the UFC, bar none, Tom Lawler, especially coming out to Living in America as Apollo Creed. You can't really beat that for entertainment value.
I thought the Dan Severn was the best one.
That and the Art Jimerson. Art Jimerson was pretty darn good, too. Jerry, we met briefly. You threw me out from behind the bar when I tried to make myself my own drink, and I felt the floor was sticky, so that was probably a good move on your part.
Yes, the floor was very sticky. Somebody had spilled an entire thing of orange juice, so I decided to take over. And, I made you your drinks. I hope they were good. I didn't have a measuring cup or any funnels or anything, so if you don't remember anything that night, I think I made pretty good drinks.
No, it was perfect. Three-fourths of a cup of whiskey and a quarter cup of Diet Coke. I was fine for the night. That was great.
Perfect.
Awesome. We do have another caller on the line here, so do you have any last things you want to talk about before we switch over to the next caller?
Met a lot of great people this time around, Garrett, Damien, everybody. Hey, if you come out, come on, talk, because none of us bite. Great conversation. Ed, as always, thanks for doing it. Maybe next year I will bring another cooler of beer. I just didn't figure everybody was going to be drinking it this year again. You'd have had to haul that crap around again. You know, Marco, everybody in Vegas who shows up, either as locals or outside of it, good people, good times, and let's do it again next year, kids.
Awesome, man. Well, we'll see you again next year, bro. It was good seeing you again.
You too. Have a good show.
All right, man. Take it easy.
Bye.
Okay, now we do have another caller, and I'm assuming this is either a Skype or a computer line because it's a bunch of different jumbled up numbers. So if you are on hold, who is this?
This is Paul, Des Walker.
Hey, what's going on, Des? I was wondering when you were going to call in. How are you doing?
Well, not too bad. How are you guys? I hear Cherry's on the line.
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Hi, Cherry. How are you doing? It was nice to meet you this weekend.
Good. It was wonderful to meet you, too. How are you?
I'm doing excellent, and it was a great convention, as always, and glad to hear you. It sounds like you're going to come back next year.
Yes, I will be there. I will be there next year.
Well, that's good. It's a pleasure to have you accentuating the visual that Ed brings down.
You know, I do what I can.
Yeah. So, it was a great time. What was that, Dad?
I said that's why I had her come.
Well, exactly. You always bring someone better looking than you, and that's probably the best thing you do every convention.
Yeah.
But,
sure.
You did a fantastic job this year, Ed. The sweet party was epic. Were you aware that Crime Time was actually at the Riviera while the sweet party was going on, but better places to go?
Yeah, I've kept it under wraps, but I knew Crime Time was coming weeks in advance. I knew the whole story. So,
they were at the Riviera though. Because we ran into them on our way into the party. Yeah.
They were hanging out with Kim Kardashian or something.
Yeah, and Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
That was fun. I had a great time hanging out with Antonio all weekend. He's a great dude.
Oh, that's right. You roomed with Antonio now. Did you give him the floor or did he get a bed?
No. I made my kid sleep on the couch, and he took the other bed. He offered to take the couch or the floor, but my kid said, no, you take the bed. So,
yeah.
It was
probably for the best.
Yeah,
no, your son's small, and Antonio, he is a pretty jacked up dude.
Yeah. Well, he also says he's used to sleeping on floors. I guess in the business, you know, you save money wherever you can. And
yeah, that's
true. But he's a super nice guy.
He is a carny, so, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's an awesome dude. I heard he hooked you up with some awesome seats, even better than the seats we had.
Yeah, we were, I don't know, I guess about five rows up from the floor. So it was perfect. Like, our eye level was right at cage level, and we were right center cage. So it was almost better than being on the floor in some ways. The tickets were like, I don't know, $1,300 each, but he got them comped. So that was well worth making my kids, you know, sleep on the couch. Didn't hurt me at all.
Yeah.
But great guy.
Yeah. Well, we got lucky on our seats is because we had the $600 seats, but the section, like Luxury sat on the aisle, and the next seat on the other side of the aisle, which is, what, 2 feet away, maybe, that was a $1,200 seat. So at least, you know, we were – basically, we almost had the same seats for half the price. And they were pretty decent.
That's all right.
We were maybe a few rows higher than you were, but maybe not as centered as you were. So they were still great seats. Wouldn't you agree, Sherry?
Yeah, and they were wonderful. I mean, and a couple of the fighters, like after their fights, were actually sitting just one row down from us, like in our same section.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Alcantara was there sitting with an ice pack on his head, like for most of the fights. It was kind of weird seeing, you know, him there after a fight, you know, with a big old ice thing watching the rest of the show.
Wow, sound like pretty good seats. That's, yeah, you were probably right pretty much exactly the same level that we were at then. Because I did see where some of the fighters were coming out, and there were some in our section too, like maybe three or four rows in front of us. So we had CM Punk and AJ were sitting in the back row on the floor about, like, right in front of us.
Oh, wow.
Punk had a hat, like a fedora on, and, you know, they were just incognito. And they actually left right before the Ronda fight. So I don't know. I'm guessing they went backstage to, you know, chat with Ronda or whatever, and they never came back. So
yeah, I'm pretty sure he's friends with Ronda. So yeah, I could see that. So
yeah, it was just kind of Antonio kept, you know, he was looking for him all night. He's actually a bit of a celebrity watcher. It was kind of funny. We were pointing people out all night, so that was kind of fun.
He's just one of the guys. He's just a dude, you know, really, you know.
Oh, yeah. He's hooked in for life now. He'll be coming every year. We've already got plans next year. We're going to split on a room again.
Yeah. Now, how did you, you partaked in a lot of alcohol this weekend. Have you recovered from all of that?
Oh, yeah. You know what? I normally take it pretty easy, but this was, you know, I had a personal thing to try and forget about for a few days, and that kind of helped. So that was great.
Helped,
and, you know, everyone at the convention was great. Sorry, what was that?
Yeah, I said as long as it helped. You know, I mean, I was in your spot a few years ago. I know exactly how it feels. And if my dad had passed away right before the trip, I don't know how I would deal with it because I had a very bad year that year. It took a long time, and you know, I'm glad you were able to come and have a good time. And
well, you know, it's either that or sit at home and you know, just stew about it. And that, you know, tickets were already paid for and everything. So, you know, so I figured, oh, I might as well just come and try to forget about it for a few days. And that kind of worked. So that was good. I heard my performance on the radio show, and yeah, that would might be the one. I don't know if it regrets the right word because I had fun, but it was not my better moments of the last year, I would say.
Yeah, but it was still entertaining. We have 5 minutes of live airfare, and I have two callers on the hold. I'm going to go ahead and add them to the conversation. I'm not going to let you go. I'll let you stay.
Okay.
I just don't want to lose them when we leave the live feed here. But go ahead and chill back and just, you know, add to the conversation as it comes along.
Yep.
So let me go to the one that came on first. Caller calling from area code
08. Who's this? Ed, what's up? It's Crowbro. Crowbro, okay. Crowbro, before we give your side of the story, let me also add the next person. And caller calling from area code 702. Is this Marco?
Yeah, this is Marco. What's up?
Okay, Marco, just chill for a minute or two. I just wanted to make sure you were live before you got kicked off or something. But Crowbro,
you were
accused of cock blocking on this trip. What is your side of the story?
First of all, I didn't break up a marriage. All right? They weren't. I noticed from a while away that he needed some help. So no, I'm just joking. I don't whip out my phone and show like people like stuff right away. Like I'll pick it up, slide the thing, look at it, and then finish here. So I didn't think you'd do that, and I apologize profusely for the rest of the night. But yeah, at least we got a good story out of it.
Yeah.
Now, you also partake in a lot of alcohol. I remember seeing you on the dance floor.
Like
the bourbon room with beer flying all over the place.
Bourbon room was the place to be, man. I think that was probably two of my favorite nights there. But yeah, I think we got to make that like a yearly thing. The highlights. The sweet party was good as always. I say all the time, you throw a hell of a party. It was it's a great room. I actually got there before. Like while it rained, I was with Dez and his friend Tammy and Ryan and Jeff, and she got caught in the rain on the strip, which was kind of refreshing, but pretty weird. But yeah, we got there kind of late, but the party was already hopping. And I agree with everyone else. If people have listened and have never come to this, just sack up and come. It's a lot of fun. You'll meet a lot of great new people. No bad eggs in the bunch, and
My friend Tammy was really happy. She said you were really nice to her that first night when everyone else went to Beatles.
Yeah, she's a cool chick.
Yeah, she is.
Like I said, Ed, I told you I was going to make it quick, so I just had to get my side of the story in. Again, it's the last time, craft game, I'm sorry. Next year I won't cock block you and everyone else. Just take it easy, and Ed, you're the man. Later.
Thank you, man. You have a good night. All right. Marco, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing great, man. I'm glad, being 21 this year, I was able to go to a lot more events, got to meet a lot of new people, got to see some old faces. Cherry, you're on the line?
I'm here.
Yeah, it was great meeting you, Cherry. If you don't remember me, I'm the guy who made the, remember the VCR drink? That was me.
Oh, yes, I do remember. Hello.
Yeah, he's the guy who looked like an Usto brother.
Well, I got a story relating to that.
Jacked
I'll get into that later.
Well,
now,
I'm
Marco
really happy.
Was actually... Oh,
what? Continue.
I was going to say Marco was a big part of the sweet party because Marco was the one who finally brought the booze and the cups. More importantly, the cups, because we did have a little booze. But, we did have a little bit of a wait, but when he got there, it was like the biggest relief because I was like, finally, these fools can get some alcohol and have some fun in them.
you were the hero.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that was a great story in itself because, having a car now, my idea was I'll gather some people and save them the time because I know traffic on 4th of July trying to get there. Going to be pain in the ass, so I figure I'll get some guys or whoever, get some people together, we'll drive over there. So I didn't even know. I had no intention of going to the liquor store until you told me, I'm down. And originally, I planned to go to the CVS on the strip, but we're not going to make it. If I had gone to the CVS, I would have had to find parking, go into the fucking store. The lines are always long. I would have been waiting forever. So I called Audible, went to Vaughn's nearby because I know the area, obviously, and luckily I called you because if I didn't call you one of those times, there's no way I would have brought cups.
Oh yeah, no kidding. Then it would have been a disaster. But everything worked out thankfully, and you saved the day. I remember you were supposed to make your first appearance 2 years ago, and unfortunately, you were only able to make the pool party, and unfortunately, you made it to the pool party a little late. And we had all left by then, and I just remember feeling horrible about that. I remember I ended up buying your dinner last year at the banquet to try and make up for it, but
I'm glad you've been a bigger part the last 2 years. You know, you're an awesome dude. And, you know, thanks. Like I say, you saved the sweet party, so you deserve major props for that.
Well, I appreciate that. And for giving people a ride home from the sweet party.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was
Don Cameron over. Because when we went up at the register to go buy, it was myself, Don Cameron, Damien, this dude, James Lee, and Derek Darby. There's five of us in my car. And we go to the Vons, we get our bottles and all. Like, oh, we got to go get cups and let's get, you know, mixers and all that. And we get rung up, and it turns out we had more alcohol than we had cash. Until you know, the lady asked us, "Do you have a Vons card or this kind of card?" And Dr. Cameron stuff, like, "Yeah, I got one right here." And they scanned his card, and like, just I don't know how much money just dropped. And like, "Oh man, you just saved us a bunch of money." So I got to put him over for that.
Yeah, I remember you brought me change.
Yeah, it's because of thank Dr. Cameron for that, because I don't know what the percentage was, but he just bonus points on like a reward card. And just says there's a bunch of money. It's like, oh, this is great. You know, it's loaded up. And the highlight of that, I remember passing, we had to go all the way around because we were, you know, like where, the world's largest gift shop around there. I went around there because I knew I was closer to there to get to the Riviera. And just like, we had so much fun. He also had his iPhone on him, so he's playing a lot of F4W songs in the car, so.
Oh,
like, My Name Is So Guapo is in there, and you know, F4W Boogie and all that. We had a great time. So,
and the only time of the year he can play that and not be a geek.
Right. Now, you also unfortunately had to give Brian a ride back to the hotel. How painful was that?
Oh, I didn't mind that, because at that point I was like, you know what, I'm good here. I didn't feel like drinking anymore because I knew I had to drive home. And even with that, I wanted to be in good condition, too. If anybody else wanted a ride, you know, save him some time and get in the cab. It's like, yeah, I'll take some people. But I remember it was Brian and Whitney, Damien, I think Des's friend. And
yeah.
I almost took Antonio, but like, no, I'm my car's full. And we go to
the
parking garage.
What
was that?
I think Antonio had to walk.
Oh, man.
If he
reached me, like,
all the way down? Oh, my God.
Well, I don't know. My kid did. I think they might have walked together.
Oh, okay. Well, your
kid, would have approached me. If you would have approached me 2 minutes earlier, I would have had him, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
So,
going
into the car.
He's in good shape, so I'm sure he's all right. But, I mean, that's real cool that you're able to help out with rides and everything. Like I say, I mean, everybody helps out one way or another, and you know, if they can, you know, and it just seems to just work out perfectly. I mean, it's just awesome how everything just comes together.
Well, if anything, we had a couple of common themes. So one of them was every time I went somewhere, I kept forgetting where I parked my car. Like, at one point, we go to level 3, and like, where's my car? For real, where's my car? Like, oh, it's level 4, and I hated that I did that because I know, you know, Brian was tired, Whitney was tired, and I got a cheap shot in there because, you know, he asked me the same thing you asked, Dad. He's like, are you an Uso? So I told him, like, I'm not an Uso, but I have wrestled as Roman Reigns in a Battle Royal once. And
it's funny that I call you an Uso because I always call Dez Rick Moranis, and I ask him how if he shrunk the kids.
Yeah, so we talked for a few more minutes, and then I said, you know, I'm glad to be here. Of course, this convention needs a Mexican that actually speaks Spanish, and he took offense to that.
But yeah, it was an awesome trip, man. And do you have any other stories you want to share, Marco, before we start to wrap up?
For Wednesday, I got a short story on Wednesday because.
Okay.
By pure accident, because I was set to meet up some friends at the garage for like a birthday thing, but I got there so incredibly late that I missed it. And it turns out some of the Canadians got in early. So, yeah, I'll wait for like an hour and a half, and I waited on them. And it's like Jess and Freeway and Dazza, and a couple came in, Dale Andrew, walked around the strip for a little bit. I mentioned on our way back, we hit the Aria, and we did a Okada poses, the Rainmaker poses in front of this waterfall. So that was like another little theme there. Everybody taking Rainmaker pictures. And at some point I asked, you know, because Daz is from England, I asked him, does he ever get asked to say the bad news line? So he threw that in there. You know, I'm afraid I've got some bad news. So everywhere we went, I got some bad news.
He did.
So then karaoke, I'm glad. I didn't get to go to karaoke last year because looking back, I should have because they didn't ID me. Because, you know, oh, now I'm 20. I barely got in a ditch last year because they didn't check ID. So I don't want to, you know, roll the dice again. So when during karaoke, of course, again, right before you sing the song, I'm afraid I've got some bad news. Had a great time. And then obviously when we started hearing Bodies by Johnny Poole, I started the ECW chant, if you remember that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was rocking out when they played that song.
Oh, man, I had a great time. I would stick around a little bit more for Monday, but of course I had to work. I guess that's it, man. You know, people give you a lot of heat, but I gotta say, man, you put in a lot of work putting this thing together, and I appreciate it a lot, man. And I'm definitely coming back next year.
Be better. You live there.
Of course. I told you before, if the convention was anywhere else, I don't know if I'd go to it. Where else would you have it?
I wouldn't have it anywhere else but Vegas. That's what WrestleMania is for, to go to different places. Conventions for Vegas and Vegas only. but it was great having you. Great seeing you again. So we'll go ahead and start to wrap up. So have a good night, Marco, and we'll see you soon.
All right, man. Great talking to you, Ed, Cherry. Nice meeting you. Great person. I'll see you guys next year.
Yes, see you next year.
And, Dez, before we go, do you have any last stories you want to tell real quick?
You know what? Just I'd say one of the unsung highlights of the weekend for me was watching World Series of Fighting in Dave's suite with Todd Martin, Brian Alvarez, and Antonio Thomas. That was
something else. I'm really sad I didn't see this. I'm really sad I wasn't there. Can I come to this next year?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's room on the bed. I was sitting on the – you'd have to share. I think Brian was sitting on the bed, and Antonio was on the floor. I was on the chair. So, yeah, there'll be room for you.
That's okay,
As long as it's okay with Dave.
I'll squeeze in there. As long as it's okay with Dave, that'd be great.
Oh, yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. Yeah, Antonio, he trains with Nick Newell, so he didn't want to miss this fight. And, you know, it's MMA, so Todd and Dave are up for it. And I just tagged along because it was there. So, yeah.
Cool.
Other than that, you know, typical weekend. I don't I think I'll have a lot more fun next year and let loose a little bit more than I did this year. But it was great meeting everyone. I got a chance to say goodbye to everyone at karaoke by name, which, you know, I don't usually do. Made sure to take the time. So that was nice. And, looking forward to next year already.
Awesome, man. We'll see you next year.
You bet.
Cool, man. We have a good night. Okay. Well, we'll go ahead and start to wrap up, Sherry. We'll go ahead and finish with the UFC if you'd like to. What are your thoughts on the main event? Because unlike the Ronda fight, it lasted more than 16 seconds. And what were you thinking? I was on the edge of my seat. What were your thoughts on it?
I feel like this match was great in the fact that, you know, each fighter, Chris came out swinging, you know, and he took the first two, you know, rounds easily, but he started to get tired, and you could definitely see that he was hoping that it was going to end before it went into the fourth round. And, he got beat up a little bit, but it was great to see him come back. But it was a nice, you know, I guess if you were looking at it like good guy versus bad guy type thing, you know, it was wonderful to see because, you know, each of them had their equal parts of, oh, they might win, oh, they might win. It was good. I enjoyed it. I think since it was, you know, the final fight of the night and we did watch all of the fights, I was a little tired, so I was kind of hoping that it would be a 16-second fight. But it was wonderful. I'd see it again and again, because it definitely was. It was like a movie moment, you know, where you didn't know who was going to win. You know, after that fourth round, and they were going into the fifth round, all bets were off for me. Like, I had no clue who was actually going to come out on top in that final round.
And what was worried, because, like, when the fourth was over, I'm like, oh, he's in trouble. He's so tired. But he actually won the majority of that fifth round until the end. And then Loyola just did everything he could to try and knock him out. And he was hitting him, and Wiseman's arms were down. And
yeah, Loyola got some really good hits in on Chris. He got some really good hits.
The best part, though, was, like, right at the very end, like, Loyola does a flurry, but the flurry ends, like, about 2 seconds before the bell rang. And right when the flurry ended, Wiseman just looks at him, does the Rocky, picks up his hand, he's like, come on, come on. And now it's just like, oh, my God, that is so awesome. And
I mean, yeah. You know, he was definitely playing head games, you know, and I think that also helped him continue to stay on top. You know, it was a good match. You know, kudos to Chris. You know, Loyoto, you put up a really good fight too. But it was a good fight. Like I said, when round four was done and they were heading into the fifth, you know, it could have been anyone's game, because one of them could have easily gotten a good knockout shot, because they were both pretty tired. You know, and it would only take one good hit for one of them to fall. You know, hit the ground. So.
Yeah, exactly. And we've talked about pretty much almost every event. Is there anything that maybe just that's sticking out that you'd like to say a few words about before we start to wrap up?
No, every event was awesome. When we went and saw Beatles Love, the Cirque du Soleil.
Oh, yes,
was amazing.
We haven't talked about that. How, why don't you tell everyone about how awesome it was? I know I looked at your face.
The Cirque du Soleil was so amazing. It was so wonderful. You know, we all sat. We had, like, the top rows. There was not a bad seat in the house. It was at the Mirage. And it was a Beatles-themed Cirque du Soleil show. And I'd have to say, like, it was really good. Like, you know, there was a plot. There was a storyline. You know, great acrobatics, you know. Not as much as you would normally see in, like, a full-on just regular Cirque du Soleil show, but, like, they had a lot more other things going on as well, like a giant circus-themed part for the benefit of Mr. Kite, and, like, people, you know, police officers chasing hippies and jumping, you know, the flower children and jumping over, you know, telephone boxes, and, you know, it was very entertaining, you know. It was wonderful to see. I highly recommend it to anyone who hasn't seen it or who wants to see it again, because there were people that were with us who had seen it several times that were still, you know, getting enjoyment out of it. So I highly recommend it. Everything was wonderful. The sea party, all the food, just the lights in the casino and the sightseeing. Me and you rode the roller coaster.
Yes, that was awesome. That was so nerve-wracking going up that hill. I'm scared. I'm scared as a little bitch. And Sherry's like practically laughing at me.
I was laughing the whole entire time at you. Yeah, that was great. It was an amazing roller coaster inside New York, New York. I suggest anybody go ride it who likes roller coasters. Very high up. And it takes you all the way around the buildings and into the buildings, and a lot of hills, a lot of turns and twists. It's a little rocky. Your head hits the sides of your little pads a little bit too much, but it's a little rocky, but it's wonderful. I'd have to say the one thing I want to do next year, ladies, is I want all of us to get together and have some pool time. I was able to have some pool time on my own for a little bit, and it was wonderful, but I highly suggest we take a, like, just, you know, 30 minutes out of the day of all the craziness, and maybe all of us pick a hotel that has a really good pool or something, and all of us just meet and just have some pool time. I guess the guys can come too. Anybody who has a bathing suit or swim trunks or whatever, just I think we should, you know, set some time during the day, like, just for all of us to relax and maybe day drink a little bit and just chill by the pool, like, the one pool, and just have and be able to, because I had fun, but I had nobody around me to really talk to. So it was great to relax, but then I just ended up Facebooking and Instagramming the entire time and drinking by myself. So that was lonely. So next year, cool, everyone, I'll pick a time.
We'll definitely put that on the schedule, and we'll even name it after you. It'll be Cherry Brown's Pool Party.
Cherry Brown's Pool Party, exactly. There you go. Hashtag
yeah.
Cherry Brown Pool Party.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Anything else sticking out?
It was wonderful meeting everybody. I can't wait to see everyone again next year. I think I've made some really good friends. It was so much fun just hanging out with everybody and talking and laughing. And, you know, talking to people that from all over the world and that have either, you know, been doing this and been in this kind of, you know, industry or, you know, going to these conventions in this kind of world for, you know, years, and to people that were new like me, you know, and it was wonderful. I thank everyone. It was great to see, you know, some Louisiana people there as well, you know, and I have to thank actually, you know, the person who introduced me to this whole world would, you know, and you would be James, you know, he for those of you who don't know him, I think his handle name on Instagram and Twitter is Peppermint Fatty. James is pretty awesome. So it was great to see him and hang out with him before he was doing all his UFC press conference stuff and taking pictures of all the desserts and such that I wanted to eat. It was all wonderful. And thank you all, and I'll see you all next year, and we'll have even more of a crazy, fun time.
Sounds like a plan. And my last thoughts are, is, you know, like, I want to thank everybody for coming out. Like I say, I was worried about it being a smaller crowd, but it was actually even bigger, and new people just stepped in and took over and took the place of the people who hadn't been there, and it was all good, and I hope next year will be even bigger, you know. And I want to thank, you know, I send in the thank you to Brian on the show, but I'll go ahead and thank everyone here. You know, thank Dr. Lucha for the rise. Thank Lady J for setting up the dinner on Thursday. Thank Scott and for setting up the banquet. Thank Doc G for taking over the banquet and collecting the money. Thanks to Dez, Doc's sister, and Ryan for getting the USC group of tickets. Thanks, Ryan, for getting the Beatles Love tickets. Thanks to the other Darby, not Derek Darby, but the other Darby for taking me to get sodas. Thanks to Marco and Orphan for bringing the booze to the party. You know, thanks to Vinny for originally coming up with the karaoke idea last year. You know, it's just, you know, if I'm forgetting anybody, thank you. You know who you are. Basically, just thank everybody that came. And I want to thank you for taking the chance to come hang out with a bunch of weirdos. I mean, we only basically we met at WrestleMania and just sat and hung out at WrestleMania and got along. And
yeah.
I think we're pretty good friends. And
It was wonderful.
Yeah,
Thank you for putting all this together and, like, you know, coming up with stuff. And thanks to everybody who took over things. And congratulations to the people who got married and renewed their vows this weekend. We had, like, little weddings and stuff that popped up over the weekend. So that was great.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That was I haven't seen the video, but I'm probably going to watch that when the show's over, of them being married by an Elvis. And, yeah, that should be pretty cool. And like I say, I want to thank you for we hung out quite a bit during this trip, and I want to thank you for putting up with me. Honestly, I'm not the easiest person to get along with. I know this, but you're a trooper.
No, you're not. I'm not going to lie. You are not the easiest person to get along with.
Well, I'm glad that you didn't basically just, I don't know, just you were never a pain in the ass or anything like that. You were always super cool to me, so. I very much enjoyed hanging out with you, and I appreciate everything you did as far as bartending, cleaning up the room after everybody left to go to the bourbon room. You know, you did a great job there. You didn't have to do that, and just just being nice to everybody. And I really want to, you know, I really enjoyed having you around, and I'm glad you're going to come back next year. And yeah, I mean, you know, I can't wait to see you and see everybody else. And hope everyone enjoyed this show. And next week we will get back to talking wrestling. This is just the one show of the year where we basically don't. And yeah, we'll get back to normal next week. And I'm glad the convention was a success. And if you have any doubts or you're ever considering it, but you're on the edge, just take a chance and come out, and you'll have a good time. And we'll all have a good time together. And it'll be awesome. Cool. So let me go ahead and find the theme music, which I'm having trouble doing. Okay. Did you want to say goodbye to everybody?
Goodbye, everybody. Thank you for bringing me in, and thank you for listening to us all babble on about our weekend in Vegas while you guys probably weren't in Vegas. Please come out next year. It's open to anybody and everybody. So come out. Be awesome, have fun, and chase those dreams. Tell life it hits like a bitch.
And on that note, we will end the show.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix shit. Let's go hook him up! Tonight.